If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
That is right, it is tedious. For the 423rd time, here we are.
This is the good stuff, the right
it's
stuff.
It's the opposite of a yarmulke.
My people, you really need to listen to this.
I'm Sven. I'm all alone in the studio. My Fascination coffee mug is empty, but there's still cigar left, so I don't know what to do. Alex and Mike are on Skype with me.
Hello.
It is a the ratings are down because it's a slow news week. I don't know what to say.
Our ratings are down. We're not going to crack a million views in this video.
I guess we should start. We should just start right there. I guess Brian Stelter claims ratings are down because it's a slow news week. I can think of some other reasons. I'm actually upset. I'm a little upset about this because this goes against my narrative that I had in like my fist fight with Ethnarch and Jazz Hands last night on Jazz and Jesse. If you missed it, make sure
you
check it.
No, I did miss that. What was the fight about? You were saying going fully black pilled.
No, I was going like not black pilled, black male pilled. Like I'm saying, like okay, the Mueller report dropped in the way that it did because of things that Trump has done policy wise that he's been let off the hook because he's playing ball now, and they were kind of against that, and we went back and forth for a while. I think that's true.
I think it's like it's not that they were ever going to find Russia collusion. They weren't.
Right.
But at some point the investigation had to end. Why did it end now?
Yeah.
Why would it end now?
Yeah, my position is it could just keep running through the presidential campaign. But
yeah, why would they stop it?
Yeah, I don't want to relitigate it with you. Everybody, this is the same audience essentially. The paywall audience heard it.
No, I mean, so look, I would have been on your side had I been in that chat because I agree with that completely 100%. I don't understand the alternative view at all.
Right. The reason I mention it is because like one of my narratives about justifying that was that the Mueller report and the wall are both things that both sides are still going to campaign on. They're just regardless of whether they're fake or not. Like the dyed in the wool base like still believes it. But if CNN and MSNBC's ratings are down because of the exoneration, then maybe I'm wrong to a certain extent. Maybe as a campaign issue, it's not going to work because the idea that this greatly discredited the media could actually hold some water. Where I'm sitting here like...
No, that's absolutely true. Yeah, no, that is absolutely true. It did discredit the media.
Yeah, see, I pushed back on that because I'm like, discredit it to who? Because I'm saying like the people that watch this shit want to believe that stuff. Like, they're not...
I think
sitting there like they're like that old Depeche Mode song. Lie to me. I don't remember the rest of the words, but I just remember lie to me.
Here's my full and complete narrative. Maybe Jazz Hands and Ethnarch disagree. That's fine. We can talk about it, or maybe not. It doesn't matter. My full thing is like, okay, if you're saying that there was some reason that the Mueller report had to end now, I would ask you why. Because Mueller report, why did it go on as long as it did in the first place? Right. Why was it like 2 years and 3 months? Why did it last that long to begin with?
Right.
Why did they bring something like 37 indictments or something like that, and a number of Trump officials who were doing other kinds of petty shit, like Manafort got put up on crimes he did years before, etc. Like everybody in the government can potentially get put up on those type of charges, which is one of the reasons for these investigations. It's not really to find. I mean, we all know this, right?
Yeah.
Point of this was never to find. They knew that it was a lie. They knew that there was no Russia conspiracy. So why not continue it and continue just to fucking investigate everyone close to Trump, put them up on stupid petty charges for some bullshit they did, some tax shit or some bribery or whatever, like improperly filing some document or some gay shit, you know? And why not just do that forever? They could just do it forever. Why would they end it now?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the reason they end it now, and then, of course, as Jazz Hands himself was pointing out, Don Trump Jr. goes on Tucker to talk about this, and it's just a victory lap. There's nothing, and this is very disappointing on Tucker's part, which is, why didn't you challenge Don Trump Jr. on immigration? Why is immigration not even mentioned in this, like, 8-minute segment or whatever it was?
Right.
Why is immigration totally dropped from the president's rhetoric altogether, while meanwhile, like, hardcore Zionism is, like, added in? Like, now, he's always been Zionist, but, like, this is, like, above and beyond anything. And Dawson actually had an interesting narrative on the Dolan Heights, which is that since Syria has pledged that they're going to strike back at Israel the next time Israel bombs them,
There we go.
So usually what Syria does is they hit Israel inside the Golan Heights if they're going to do a retaliatory strike, because that's disputed territory. So it's not a strike on quote unquote Israel proper. But if the United States now recognizes Golan Heights as Israel proper, we can now say, oh, the Syrians struck Israel.
Yeah.
That's aggression.
And we just happen to have 1,000 troops sitting there waiting for this to happen.
And Israel always says, we never hit Syria. We're hitting Iranian targets in Syria, the understanding being there's not supposed to be Iranians in Syria. Or we're trying to hit Al-Qaeda and ISIS, which is the biggest lie in the world, because that's literally who they're not trying to hit.
Right.
So they actually hit Syrian military assets, and they're like, oh, we're hitting Iranian assets, or we're hitting Al-Qaeda assets. And then the U.S. just pretends like that's true. And then if Syria's like, hey, stop bombing our shit. This is like actually like a declaration of war. Mm-hmm. So like, I think Syria has every right to fucking launch missiles at Tel Aviv. But if they do that, of course, the United States will destroy them. So they won't do that. But, you know, usually their way of mitigating this is like hitting Israel assets in Golan Heights.
Right.
And that doesn't start a war because it's disputed.
Right.
But now it's not disputed. So that's a big problem. Anyway, digression there.
Digression. So back to the thing here. This is the most recent photograph of Brian Stelter I've seen. Therefore, it is the fattest. It is the fattest and gayest I've ever seen. Fatter and gayer. Every time I see him, fatter, balder, gayer. It's really
less of a penis. Somehow,
it's the best description. Like, I listened to him the other night. I was like, he literally sounds like a eunuch. He looks and sounds exactly like a eunuch.
He's
Tucker Carlson's right.
Balder, gayer, and has fewer testicles somehow.
Yeah.
Every fucking time you see him, so. Like he manages to cut one off, even though they don't. Yeah. Got like negative testicles.
I think they're just shrinking. Like he's not on juice. Yeah. He's on something else that's making them.
Oh, he's on juice.
Egyptian queen. Yeah, he's on juice or something. Like.
So CNN chief media correspondent Brian Stelter had a unique explanation Wednesday night of why CNN and MSNBC's ratings are plummeting since the conclusion of the Mueller investigation. Stelter wrote in his newsletter Reliable Sources Wednesday night that viewers aren't tuning into CNN and MSNBC because there hasn't been much news. Since Special Counsel Robert Mueller delivered his report on Russian collusion to Attorney General Bill Barr. Fox News has not been affected by the alleged slow news week.
Fox News went up. Dude, Tucker and Sean Hannity fucking exploded.
Yeah. Well, he just says it's because it's being celebrated like a sequel to election night. Well, and as it should be. Like, if you're just looking at the electoral ramifications of this, it's like, you win again.
If you're just a basic bitch conservative and you don't have any actual expectations of Trump, if for you MAGA means Trump is still president, Trump gets wins. Yeah, sure. This is a win for Trump. There's no question.
Of course.
And it's
your
win
team.
For
it's
Fox
a team wins. Win. This is like when you talk about the new Red Sox lineup and you say, oh, we have some good hitters this year. Our bullpen is
We're doing great this year.
Yeah, our bullpen is looking great. In this case,
our lineup is looking fantastic.
Only in this case, like your bullpen that you're a part of is like a 30-year-old Jewish millionaire and his captured wife of or his captured daughter of the fucking president. Like that's your bullpen. It's looking really good.
Yeah, your pinch hitter. We're having Jared Kushner come in to back cleanup.
You know, we lost some guys like Cohen to free agency and whatnot. That's okay.
It's fine.
Let's play every other team now.
Still waiting for Rod Rosenstein to go into free agency.
Oh, God.
His contract still needs to be released. They're going to release him from his contract. I love how that would be how you'd say it in baseball talk of like firing. So they released him from his contract.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Meanwhile, your side at Fox News, it picks up. What is that bitch's name? Which dumb nigger did they?
Donna Brazile.
Donna Brazile.
God. Well, okay, we're mixing a lot of stories because I do want to talk about.
We're doing the signing of free agents here. We're doing trades. Like that was a good trade. Like who went to CNN for Donna Brazile? Like who do they get?
They released Jeanine Pirro from her contract, and they picked up Donna Brazile in free agency.
Wow,
That's literally what happens.
You know, the difference is there's more people watching baseball and shit than CNN or
Fox.
That's
true. That's true.
Oh, for sure. And that's, and even though people, baseball, I don't know if baseball's really affected by the general slump in sports. Sports ball still smashes like news media.
You're like,
we're talking about. I mean,
I want to put
this in
perspective real quick.
Okay, well, I was watching. Okay, go ahead, Alex. Sorry.
You got like what, 4 million viewers at Fox right now, which is a lot for them, right? Like they're on an upsurge. Yes. It's a lot of viewers. You know what the population of this country is? It's like 327,000.
You know how many views PewDiePie gets?
I don't know.
PewDiePie gets
at least 50.
Yeah. No, he gets like 10 million views a video. He gets between like he gets between 5 and 10 within the first day. And then, you know, it could go from there because he's got like, what, 85 million fucking subscribers. So like, yeah, I mean, it's there's a sub to view ratio. He actually doesn't have a very good one, but like, whatever. Who got, you know, who knows? It doesn't matter.
327 million people.
We actually, on the other hand, at TRS YouTube, we have a fantastic sub to view ratio.
Fantastic.
We
actually, the best.
More views than subs. And it's okay. It's okay to sub. Sub to TRS.
So let's
a lot of TRS radio and subscribe.
So
there'll be more videos soon. I know I'm on the road. Sorry. Anyway,
so continue.
SNBC shit's less than a million. Maddow, I was wrong. Like she was actually still averaging, I think, 2.5, something like that. But
so
she's getting crushed by Hannity. Fucking Hannity.
She's always getting crushed by Hannity. Well, I mean,
they're always crushed by Hannity because CNN and MSNBC serve the same market, while only Fox serves the conservative market. So you have like two big players for shitlibs. Yeah, and you have only one player
CNN serves the liberal that wants to pretend that they're like watching objective coverage, whereas MSNBC serves the liberal that wants to be watching liberal coverage. They
so
want to
I actually
watch
have I have the numbers. Okay, so just so everyone,
you're looking
knows.
At the data.
I have the data. So on March 18th, okay, March 18th, Monday, March.
That's my birthday.
Yes.
Stop doing that.
Rachel Maddow had 2.9 million viewers. Okay, Tucker had 3.1 million.
Does she have that on a plaque, like outside of like the Rachel Maddow camp, perhaps by the Iron Curtain? She's got to revise it downward.
Yeah,
just like
she's revising downward. I don't have numbers. I don't have numbers on CNN, but I'm getting these straight from Vince James. So like
that's the numbers he gives.
So here's March 18th, before the report drops, Maddow has 2.975 or something like that million viewers, right? Tucker has 3.1 million. Hannity has like about 3 million. On March 25th, after the Mueller report drops, Tucker surges to 3.8 million. Hannity hits 4 million. Rachel Maddow is down to 2.4 million. So she dropped 500,000 in a week. That, for cable news, first of all, that's fucking massive. That's like 20%. That's like.
That's a lot.
It is 20%.
15, that's like between 15 and 20% of your audience, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a huge hit, and it's going to keep going down. And it's because these people, can she credibly say Trump is going to be impeached? She can't. That was her thing.
No.
Her stick was, this Mueller thing is going to bring down Trump. And she was going to play that out. Now, what I haven't seen, what I would like to see, something we could probably find out, but no one, I don't have the numbers yet, is what were her numbers like prior to Trump? Because the whole thing was that, like, Trump saved these people. Remember that was a narrative we were actually doing in like 2017.
Trump,
nobody was watching fucking CNN.
Right.
And MSNBC.
Nobody was watching MSNBC. MSNBC had a tiny niche audience when Obama was in office. That just like there was no purpose for it. It was just cheerleading for.
Yeah, people were getting like 800,000 views. Like some of these shows. Like Maddow was at that number, and I think she's going to go back to that number.
Probably
she was saved. They were saved, and of course. You know, Glenn Greenwald pointed this out. Also, you know, Stryker pointed it out on Strike and Mike on Tuesday. Was they fucking were basically state TV. Like they had like James Clapp.
Yeah, yeah, that was a great John point. Brennan, how sure I mean.
Ex fucking CIA agents. But dude, think about it like this. Everybody talks about like Russia Today. Oh, state TV, Russia Today. What if all of Russia Today's news analysts were fucking KGB agents? Like that would be the same thing. It's like you turn on Russia Today. It's like, oh, here's our KGB analyst to tell us how Putin is fucking awesome, or something like that, right? It's fuck?
Or what if it was still the 1980s and liberals and Democrats thought that was great? In the 80s, any Russian news it was run by the KGB. Like that was good. We were the ones lying. They're trying to get the truth out.
They also wanted state TV.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, liberals desperately wanted state TV because they're like, that's what will give us, like, the objective takes.
God, who was I talking to? This makes me think, speaking of the 80s, speaking of the Cold War, like, do you want to talk about, like, the most evil piece of subversion that ever happened? I mean, it's symbolic, so it's not really a big thing, but when the political left, the mainstream left, took the tearing down of the Berlin Wall and somehow turned that into their issue.
Yeah.
They somehow made that their victory. I don't know how the fuck. I'm too young to remember like how this like worked out, but it's amazing. They literally took the symbol of international communism coming down and the repression of that sort of politics ending. And they turned that into their thing when it was Ronnie.
I can tell you how.
Okay, you can tell me how, but I just still like to marvel. Before you explain it, I just like to marvel
There's
at it.
Another
for a
fake president.
Like, wow, how did they do that?
Well, first of all, they weren't wrong. First of all, they weren't wrong.
Who wasn't wrong?
The liberals. It was liberalism that took down those walls. It wasn't Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, the liberal.
More principled liberalism. Yes, I understand.
Yeah. But also, like, these were authoritarian states.
Mm-hmm.
They were anti-liberal. They weren't. They were collectivist. They were leftist. One could say in some ways. But they were authoritarian states that people didn't have like personal freedoms. They didn't. Right. I mean, look. Liberals legitimately now, there's the sense of the word liberal in terms of like classical liberal, David Hume and Sargon and all that shit. And then there's, you know, liberalism as we see it today. But there's actually an affinity, but there's a closer affinity between, you know, shitty liberalism as it is in the West and classical liberalism than I think people like Sargon would really like to admit. But
liberalism like in that meta definition, I'm talking about the definition of liberal Democrats in power in the United States in the 1980s. Their narrative was détente. Their narrative was this is always going to exist, and there's probably some things we can learn from this other regime. Oh God, Ronnie should stop. He should take his finger off the button.
Not wrong.
Yeah, that's what they did. What do you mean not wrong? They argued.
There's things we can learn from them. Like, they didn't have homosexuals running rampant in their countries.
Okay, and that's possible. I don't know about that stuff, but... Well, I don't know.
They did in the 1920s.
Right.
In the 1920s, it was incredibly degenerate, because mm-hmm. that was when the Jews were at their highest height of power.
I'm just saying, they went from shilling for this thing to claiming the destruction of it as their victory.
I think you might be overplaying the amount that they shilled for it.
Well, are you saying that Rush Limbaugh lied to me?
I think he overplayed. I think that's like a narrative. Like, sure, that's a cool narrative, but that's like, let's look at it. Let's look at what's going on.
When they set up, like, when they set up the Potemkin Village, like, who is the intended audience for the Potemkin Village type stuff?
Yes, it was them. Sure, and I'm not denying that there were dyed-in-the-wool fucking Marxists in academia and shit that were absolutely apologizing for the Soviet Union for sure. Right. But liberals, like their narrative was détente and peace and stuff. Like, think about it like this. Does it make you a shill for a regime to say, like, let's not, like, let's have detente with them? No, like, that's actually a really shitty, like, Jewish narrative, which is like, because we're not shills for,
we're not. I was thinking Iran. No. Like, I am not an Iranian shill.
We're not shills for Iran. We're not shills for Saddam Hussein's regime as it is. The thing is, the way the U.S. is so shitty with this stuff that it almost makes you, like, you see how like fucking unbalanced and biased the U.S. media is, and it almost makes you like you start sympathizing with your targets. You know, you're like, no, Iran is great. Like Saddam was fine. Assad is cool. Assad, I'm legitimately an Assad shill. Like that, I'll wear that fucking label.
I used to be butthurt about the ousting of the Shah in the late 70s, whatever it was. But then you look at it, it's like, well, what were they trying to do? Like that country was getting like so Jewed. Like, if you go look at, like, people try to, like, liberalists will post photos of what Tehran looked like in the 60s. It's like, oh.
It looks like that.
The way the people are. Like, Jewish advertising, like, you know, Sexy Time and all this stuff. It's like, they were getting, like, Jewish westernized media and imagery, like, poisoning their, you know, I don't know. I wonder how much porn they had at the end or if they managed to stop it before that happened. But, going full.
Even in the U.S., porn was tougher to come by in the 70s. I mean, it was there, but it was like, you know, you had to seek it out in more active ways, and now it's like passive just comes right into your fucking computer.
You couldn't see anything because there was so much hair and you needed hedge trimmers.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It was very, oh God, gross. But it was out there. It was really gross, but it was out there. But, you know, you had to go buy it at like a special store and embarrass, potentially be seen coming out of it, or like face the guy behind the counter and be like, yes, please give me a Hairy Earth Mother Bush Women Part 3. I'll take that. But like, yeah, like, you know, but you, I mean, this is when I say you, I'm not speaking in terms of personal experiences, all theoretical. Yeah, I was not even like alive in the 70s. I was like 3 years old at the end of the 70s. So let's not go too far. But yeah, but actually porn consumption was like that for a while until the internet. Mm-hmm. Porn consumption did involve like having to go and ask for the mag you wanted or whatever. So, you know, there was a certain amount of shame that allowed, but the internet removed shame from porn consumption. And you see what that's done. Porn consumption is now mainstream. It's actually talked about in like shitty Jewish magazines and new websites, you know, that like it's talked about on BuzzFeed and Huffington Post and Splinter News and Gawker when it still existed, as if it was like something everybody did, which it practically is in this country now. And then talked about as if everybody has like a right to it. It then became like a right, and they were like people that were like, yeah, like disabled colored lesbians who are like, there's no porn for us. And like that's a thing where I've seen this shit on like fucking one of these type of sites. They have like colored
They want to watch disabled people have sex. Like, shouldn't porn?
Yes,
like,
part they had it. Like, disabled lesbians of color are like, there's no porn for us.
But shouldn't part of like the fantasy of porn being like that you're not disabled? So like you're watching people that aren't disabled have sex. Like, shouldn't that be part of?
I don't know. It's like, not that they really want it. It's like this lady.
This lady can use her legs, and so I'm going to flick my bean to that all day. Wish I could use my legs.
The problem is that like this isn't actually about porn. This is some kind of flex just to get a concession out of something, right?
Yeah, because porn is a hyper simulation of sex. It's supposed to be sex, but better than sex.
Better than sex.
So this is all you want to do is just watch this shit. Sex, real sex, isn't even this awesome. That's the whole point.
Why do you think dudes that watch a lot of porn get fucking erectile dysfunction? Because they'll have an actual chick laying in front of them on the bed, and it's like, oh, let me go get my phone so I can get hard.
Yeah,
this happens, Larry.
It does happen.
Fucking pathetic.
What if you could have your broad in your bed, right? You get a full film crew to come in, and then you put those like those Oculus, whatever the fuck, like VR device over your eyes, and you have sex with her, but you're watching the production of it on your VR. Like there
dude,
you go.
I guarantee you, hairy man ass bobbing up and down.
Like you, like imagine like simulate you, like simulating the sex you're actually having at the same time that it's being simulated.
Right. You turn her from like the chick that you actually
now. I have ED. That's what I want. I'm not having sex ever again until that's possible.
You're definitely getting ED. VR, VD. VD, virtual disease.
Mm.
But now, and then I saw people are raging because England is actually doing that bit. Remember when we said how great it would be?
Oh, yeah, you have to sign up or something.
Sign up for porn. That's fucking great. The only problem I have is that the list of people that signed up aren't public.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually private. But it's like...
You got a license for that porn?
legitimately. And they're worried because they're like, well, the government is going to have some kind of list of people that opt into porn. I'm like, well, good. Put that out there. In the U.S., we should be able to FOIA request that if we did that. We should do that in the U.S. And you can FOIA request that list. And it's like, oh, okay, Mr. Guy, what were you watching?
God.
Were you watching... God, I don't even want to say something, the gross kind of shit that these porn titles have. But, yeah, were you watching, like, what was it, Butt Bongo Fiesta? Were you watching, like, whatever the fuck you were watching? Dude, the funniest bit on Fascination was when they were talking about how, like, they were talking about this butt gig guy, and they don't want to say butt. It's like, Buttigieg. Like, yeah, this Pete Buttigieg. It's like, this guy's name is Butt Gig.
It's Butt Kike. That's what I call him. Because I'm very creative and funny. I call him Butt Kike. So.
It's Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. Nah, man. That's Bud. That's like in to say it in Spurto, it's Bud Geig. Bud Geig. Which is just Butt Kike in English.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. So. All right. So I guess we're done with this daily caller bit.
Well, we didn't even really do it.
Well, Machel Rada. Machel Rada. Rachel Maddow, who dedicated the majority of her programming to the Russian collusion conspiracy, lost 500,000 viewers in just 1 week. Yes. After the no collusion
Dude,
report.
It would be so great if she was down to 500,000, but it said she lost 500,000.
Yeah. How is this shit still in business, though? Like, CNN gets less than 1% of the population watching it. Nobody goes to their website. Like, we got to admit this. Like, nobody fucking goes to
their website. Well, CNN's programming is on every public place in the fucking world, not just
that's
the country.
Like how they simulate their ratings
in
any airport. Actually, you know what? In my last venture through several airports, I didn't see it.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, and in the same airports, I usually see it because the Detroit airport, which I was in, is like a huge hub. And you always go through the Delta. Whenever you fly Delta, you're going to end up flying through Detroit somehow or another if you're going on a long flight. Because it's their hub. Huge, massive airport. And they used to have screens up with the news playing. Mm. And it was always CNN. It's now like, first of all, there are fewer screens.
That's interesting.
Or they are just dedicated to advertising, just like still ads that like scroll, like fill, like cycle through some ads instead of having constant like news or something. Or they have sports. Now, granted, it was March Madness.
Oh God,
was,
yeah, that's
was
right.
March
that's
Madness
right.
when I or supposedly March Madness. I mean, so there was basketball, which you know I don't care about.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's
but
actually the thing
we're
that
not having. They were not having Brian Stelter's fucking ugly eunuch face up on the screen like what I was used to flying, like, you know, last year.
The worst thing about March Madness is fucking Ann Coulter's feed suddenly becomes half, like, Negro ball, where she's scoping out which tall, lanky Negroes she likes the best. It's really annoying.
It's Jimmy Walker this time, right?
Yeah, right.
but also, you know, if I was to be cynical and say, like, perhaps they timed this because they were going to do this. Perhaps the March Madness is a good excuse for CNN to say, well, people are tuning in to March Madness. They're not watching Celtics. Yeah. But, I mean, there's always some gay sports shit that people can be watching instead of the news. Is March Madness so fucking great that, like, plus, isn't it almost over? Isn't it, like, April soon? And isn't that shit over? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know when it ends.
When is the Final Four? Like, I don't fucking care. Probably already over.
No idea.
If you give a shit in our comments, don't post it. Because
I'm not Googling because I don't care.
Because I don't give a fuck.
Could not.
But I do know that it's a big thing because I do know when I was in one of the airports waiting for one of my flights, all these boomers were like,
oh God,
put on the game. Put on the game.
Pull like, out your brackets. What do your brackets
I'm like,
look like?
You watch it on your phone, boomer.
Yeah.
Fuck. Don't make me have to suffer through this. Please. Not that Brian. Actually, I'd rather have just like Niggerball on with low volume than Brian Stelter at all, ever. So whatever. Like, if I had to choose, what's on the airport screen? Much better to have like low volume blacks running around with a ball than like fucking Jewish faces telling you evil propaganda.
Let's look at his face some more. God, he's just such a look at that fucking face.
Who is that guy he's talking to? Who's that guy in the
other side? I don't know. I think that's the guy Tsukan had on. Is that this guy? What is it? Joe Concha? Concha?
Joe Conk.
He's some kind of what is he? He's the one that says yesterday CNN didn't even average more than 540,000 viewers.
Damn, that's like normal though. That's like back to normal for them.
Yeah.
Like this is. I remember this is a thing even during like Gulf War and shit and Iraq War. Like actually no, during Gulf War One they had a huge audience. But I remember during the Iraq War they were even talking about how like people just not that many people watch this stuff and it's really the plugged in hyper political people like very politicized people. So even though like, the news kind of like filtered into the population, like those 2.9 million people tuning into Maddow were hyper Democrat partisans. All they wanted to hear was, please confirm my bias, Rachel Maddow. Please confirm my biases. Please confirm them. And she did. She was happy to do it. And she knew she was fucking lying. At least partly she knew she was lying. And, of course, you know, the other thing I pointed out. So here's Rachel Maddow, the ultimate hater of Trump, who she does hate. This fucking guy. Yeah, let's get that fucking ugly, ugly eunuch face. She hates Trump so much. What is she not criticizing? Did she have anything to say about the Dolan Heights?
Oh, of course not.
No, that's the point of mass media. It's what they don't let you talk about.
Dude, she even had Elizabeth Warren on, apparently. She had Pocahontas herself on, and Pocahontas said she actually supported Trump's Syria pullout, and Matt Alec cut her off.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Maddow's hyper Zionist. Maddow's a Zionist. Of course he's Zionist. He's fucking.
Wow. So the Democrat left in America is the only place where an actual debate on Zionism is happening.
It's not happening. She gets cut off.
Well, she gets cut off, but at least there's people there that are like, she tried to start it.
Well, because
the Republicans don't even have any people that want to start that discussion. It's funny because
you probably find more people that have a principled opposition to that kind of foreign policy on the right than on the left. Actually, no.
Yeah, I think you're like, yeah. It's like us.
I'm trying to meme that.
It's like us
and Justice Raimondo.
Yeah, everything else is like slavish fucking devotion to Israel and its future.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I remember when they were doing like stuff on Syria. The problem is that the Christian Zionists are actually grug brains, so they don't even get like they're not. You have to show them a map to show them like how this all works. Like, they have no idea where the fucking Dolan Heights are. They have no idea where Syria is on a map. They probably don't even really know where Israel is. I mean, maybe because there's a map of Israel on the inside flap of a lot of Bibles, but other than that, like which in itself is kind of a piece of propaganda. But then other than that, it's like, all right. Like, do these people understand how Syria connects to that? Like, do they get that it's right next to Israel and that, like, Israel wants to break that nation apart so they can grab more land? Like, do they understand that? And if they did, would they be more in favor of fucking war in Syria? Can we actually be happy that, like, the lack of knowledge of geography on Americans is why they can only get, like, 7% approval ratings for, like, invasions of Syria? And those 7% are, like, those are the people that are, like, the hyper Bible-thumping Christian Zionists. Like, those are the ones, like, those are, like, the actual fucking grug brain boomers that are like, we need to immanentize the eschaton. We need to bring fulfill the prophecy in Revelations. By the way, Revelations, not a Christian word.
No.
Definitely a Jewish book.
I don't have any new Sven Pastisi material, but that's part of it.
Well, that's my Sven Tecostle gospel.
I'm stealing all of it. We're all going to attribute all this to me.
This is my transcendentalist gospel for the week.
Your Sventivacatist papacy.
The book of Svenvelation.
Oof.
The book of Svenvelations.
book of ventilation. I'm trying to like blow book the cigar smoke out here right now.
That's like so. The book of ventilation. The book of ventilation is like you put the fan in the window so the cigar smoke gets out of the basement. That's the book of ventilation.
Exactly.
We're talking about the book of Revelation.
If this camera would autofocus, I could show you the fan in the window right now.
Because the rest of the New Testament. Now, I know there's like pagan gang has huge problems with everything I'm saying. That's fine. New Testament is not particularly anti-Roman. Revelations, hugely anti-Roman. Who hated the Romans a lot?
Was this before or after that siege?
Is the answer the Visigoths?
They always hated them. No, well, yeah, a lot of people hated the Romans, but in biblical, we're talking about the biblical world.
Oh,
there's the Jews. Jews fucking hated these people.
Jews hate everybody.
That whole
book is about how they hate everybody. And we're going to kill them. We're going to dash their babies on the rocks and kill all their fucking cattle. I'm going to set their lambs on fire and not even eat it.
Dude, Saul.
Oh, God.
The first king of Israel.
Rosenblake?
Yeah, no. Saul Rosenblatt.
King Saul with all his Rosenblatt. He had his shoes and his glasses, and he'd be ruling over the Israelites.
That was the thing. That was the thing. He had to be deposed because he left his shoes and his glasses. It's like he didn't. Oh God, I didn't despoil everything in the city. I'm sorry. I forgot my shoes and glasses. Oh, jeez. So they like had to kill. They had to kill him, or they had to remove him from power and replace him with David. That's where David came from. Because Saul cucked hard. He let like. Some women and like an ass or something like that live in some city that they're supposed to destroy. And Yahweh
he's an
was
ass
like,
man.
Yeah, he's an assman.
Assman. Assman.
Assman.
Bleach.
Assman.
Assman.
Yeah, Yasmin Bleach. Is that what you said?
Dude, we drove past a town the other day called like Inman. I was like, would it be a funny name, like a hysterical fake name for someone to be like Richard Inman? Like Dick Inman?
I got it.
You got it. You picked up on it.
Okay. I got it. I made a face at the camera. Anyone
sorry.
Watching?
I was cracking myself up. I was like, yeah, I'm running for the Democratic primary. I'm Richard Inman.
Yeah, like your running mate, so, Mike Hunt.
I happened to look at some analytics really quick in regards to CNN. It looks like the Trump bump was driving a huge swath of their keyword results from searches, and that's down like 45%. The main thing driving their traffic right now is Jussie Smollett.
That's gonna. That's, well, oh, we could pivot.
Yeah, we can pivot to that.
We could
pivot to that or the Shapiro thing. We can do. We can do.
Do we cover like everything we wanted to here? I mean, I don't know. I feel like we did because it's like everyone gets it. Like they. Let me just give the final.
There's always another show. If you need to.
There's always another show if I need to clarify. Right. But I just want to say, like, I think that there's a number of things going on. One, I think the investigation ended because Trump is playing ball in a way. Like, the few people have played ball this hard ever. Like, all those niggers in the Final Four, they're not playing ball nearly as hard as Trump is.
No.
Right. And so he's playing ball hardcore, so they end it now.
Yeah.
Now, this is discrediting to the media. This is a calculation they made. It's almost like the deep state's like, well, media – sorry. So the thing is, these people aren't invincible. I think it becomes problematic when your narrative rests on them always being invincible. So you have to find a way that they like didn't actually fuck up, but they fucked up. Like they fucked up. Russiagate was obvious bullshit. They came out with it to sandbag the Trump administration. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What they launched an investigation, which ended up sandbagging the Trump administration, but not for the reason that gaslit cat ladies and liberals think. And they ended up discrediting the liberal media to some of its biggest consumers. Although there's also going to be an effect here, much like the Jussie Smollett thing, there's going to be belief disconfirmation effects, yes. Which means they're going to fucking double down. But that doesn't matter because they are hugely discredited. They are having a problem. And so this is kind of what I'm talking about in terms of system fragility. System is fragile. They have problems. They can't keep it together. They want to sandbag Trump, but they create a problem for themselves in doing so. The investigation did accomplish goals. It did accomplish certain goals of sandbagging Trump and getting Trump to play ball, and now basically Trump is
he's
Jeb
been
plus.
Brought fully in line. Yeah, he's Jeb yeah, plus
he's
more
he's
Zionism.
Jeb plus. Yeah, exactly.
And I just saw, speaking to the belief disconfirmation and stuff and the so-called discrediting of the media, I don't know how discredited they're actually going to be because the narrative is already out there. I saw a Vice headline yesterday that like something to the effect that President Trump was never in any danger from an actor like Mueller because they're just going to pivot back to like, okay, Mueller is a lifelong Republican. He was a Republican's man. And you know, so like you're letting the Fox investigate the Fox House or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Whoever you twist that Fox in the head house thing. It's like, yeah, he's like, you're still at the end of the day, they can spin it as they allowed this guy to, you know, be investigated by one of his own, and that's what they're doing. And they're going to say that, like CNN didn't lie to us; the special counsel did. You know,
right? Well, that's another Jazz and Marcus to shill FTN, fantastic talk show. Been the last few episodes have been very, very, very good. I've enjoyed them a lot. They're like, yeah, dude, are they going to do just like they turned on fucking Comey or Daddy's Comey?
He's going to get Comey.
They turned on, and now they're going to turn on Mueller. But it's like, because he didn't deliver the goods. But that's just that segment of cat ladies. Yeah. They're like important for getting clicks and shit, for clickbait. But they're not like really that important. Like they don't make any decisions. They're just, they were discovered as an audience. Like they didn't, like on some level, the deep state was probably themselves a little bit shook by the fact that like conservatives didn't believe them. Gen X and millennials didn't believe them. Mm-hmm. But these fucking boomer cat ladies eating their ice cream and bonbons, like petting little foo-foo or, you know, whatever. You know, giving like the little cat fancy feast in like the wine cup, as they watch Rachel Maddow. You know what I mean? Like this was their audience, and they were like, "Holy shit! How is it that like middle-aged, childless women are like suddenly the biggest fucking constituency for the deep state? They love it." That was it. You know, they were shook by that. So I think there's a number of things that we have to take into account, which is like. The media is largely discredited. It has been, though, for a while. But this just furthers that problem. You know, the number, as Alex was saying, the number of people actually consuming this stuff on a hardcore level is small relative to the population. It's going to get smaller now because they're going to, like, there isn't, I mean, there wouldn't be this 500,000 person drop off if these people weren't blackpilled, if they weren't like, fuck, well, I can't get my daily dose of confirmation bias anymore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because like a lot of them, there's some of them that are doubling down. But there's still a lot of them that are going to be, and there's other liberal voices out there like, stop coping. Like, this shit's over. Stop fucking coping. There's people increasingly saying that. So, look, they did create a problem for themselves. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not going to deny that. Like, sure, ultimately they got the president back on board. But think about what it cost them. This is the thing. Like, they had Trump was off fucking script. They brought him back on script.
Right.
But look at what it cost them. It did cost them.
It cost them, but the way I look at it is they're back where they were in 2015. Really, they're just back to a waiting game now. But as the demographics go, as the electric goes, it's like it's going to come the point that the point that it doesn't matter anymore is like was pushed back several years, but they're back on track now. You know, like the Trump is Trump is basically now like he's the avatar for white nationalism in as much as they can accuse him of that. He's not actually doing anything. He's the thing they can point at and tell everybody you hate that guy because of this interest he's supposed to represent, even though he's not representing it anymore. So
yeah, but think about how even more hyper insane the atmosphere is. Like my thing is like I want this insanity to continue.
Right.
And I am fully on board with the to pivot now to Smollett, small brain. Like I love this now.
Yeah.
I want Jussie Smollett to get everything he wants.
Yeah, let me get this story right here. Jussie Smollett, this is in USA Today, nominated for an NAACP award and host Anthony Anderson hopes he wins.
Anthony, you did a good job, man.
Yeah, Anthony Anderson is like the actor and comedian who is not as fat or as funny as Patrice O'Neill, and now Patrice O'Neill is dead, so there's only one. Anthony Anderson is like
Patrice O'Neill would never have gotten an NAACP.
No,
but he appeared on a show with two white people, and he reified all black stereotypes and laughed at them.
Anthony Anderson is just like, he's like the mainstream, he's like the shitty, he's like the boneless version of Patrice.
Did Sinbad ever get an NAACP award? That nigga was funny.
Well, I don't know.
Probably. Fucking love Sinbad, man. That guy was funny as hell.
That was back when like the flavor of all this stuff was a lot different.
That was back when black comedians were just fucking hilarious. Yeah. They just make fun of black people and talk about like their mama and shit. Like my mama used to smack the shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just fucking crack up.
He would do bits about like diving for the front porch as the street light came on. Because like if you weren't around the front porch, pretty good stuff. He had a lot of good bits. He had a lot of really good bits. But, you know, that was back. That was like hating, you know, full on hate white. He wasn't mainstream yet. Now it is. So.
Yeah.
So let's see. Just days after prosecutors dropped all charges against Jussie, the Empire actor could again be making headlines. Smollett is nominated for a 2019 NAACP Image Awards, scheduled for Saturday. Six-time host and Blackish star Anthony Anderson told Variety on Wednesday that he hopes to see the controversial actor there. I hope he wins. I'm happy for him that the system worked for him in his favor. Because the system isn't always fair.
Failed to work for him and hold him responsible for
it. But listen to his narrative.
It worked.
The system worked for him in his favor because the system isn't always fair, especially for people of color. So I'm glad it worked out.
You're right. Okay. Sure thing, pal. Well, it's not fair when it comes to people of color. It's, in fact, completely unfair. But I like this. Yeah. I am now I actually had the same feelings that Marcus had, which is I was fucking pissed. Then I was outraged. Then I did the learned helplessness bit for like 2 minutes. Then I got pissed at the learned helplessness shit. Now I'm like, this is great. Give Jussie everything. Give Jussie the best black person
ever. Whatever the fuck he wants.
Give Jussie whatever the fuck he wants. Jussie
is an
arrogant, ignorant control freak. Probably true. but give him everything. Because white people are so fucking pissed. It's like, again, the system is fragile. Jussie needs to get off. He needs to get whatever the fuck he wants. But that's a cost. There's a cost. How many more people have no fucking faith in the system because of this?
I hope a lot.
How many more people? Like, this is a fucking sham. This whole fucking thing is a sham. Them actually giving Jussie some kind of punishment would have, like, shored up the system.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Rahm Emanuel is out there like, fucking hell. What the fuck? We want one little thing. We just need to give this guy fucking 6 months in jail and it all goes away. But no, we can't do that. Because black people on some level don't want to play ball with that. They're like, no, he didn't do nothing. Kim Fox, no, he didn't do nothing. And like, the Jews are like, look, we're going to need to dial back the didn't do nothing, okay? We're going to dial it back a little bit because these whites are getting out of fucking control. Every white person, as far as I'm concerned, every white person that says, fuck this, this is all bullshit, is a win for us. And that's a danger, and that's a cost they're going to have to endure. So everything has costs. This is a slow – you know, they're saying remember the slow motion Saturday Night Massacre is what they were talking about, the Mueller investigation was? Well, this is a slow motion fucking everything is fake and gay. Like, this is a slow motion that – like, it's never going to be a point at which everybody realizes everything's fake and gay. But we have two major events that have happened in the past few days, the past couple weeks – everybody is going to say this is fake and gay. How many more thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of people are saying this whole fucking system is fake and gay because of the 1-2 punch of the Mueller report and Jussie Smollett getting off on all charges. There's a number of people like, you know what? Wow, this whole thing is fucking fake and gay. It's bullshit. And the more people that do that, the more we win. And there's some people still plugged in, and there's going to take another event, and there's going to be another thing where they've got to scramble, and they're going to have to do a fucking weird narrative, and it's going to seem like they won. On the surface, it's going to seem like they won everything. But behind the scenes, with the real people on the ground, there's just more people like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck this bullshit. This is fucking – of this is fucking stupid and retarded and gay. Yeah. And this is not only like an evil empire. It's like a retarded fucking empire. You know, it's like so shitty and dumb. Say, like, if we're gonna have an evil empire, can we please at least have cool uniforms and be putting the boot on the neck of people and doing actual like Darth Vader level shit instead of just being a bunch of homos and niggers running around like chickens with their head cut off? Like, you know, like can we please actually do the evil thing instead of just being retarded at the same time? It's like the United States of the Empire needs a fucking safety helmet. It's like it's got retard strength. That's like the United States at this
retard
point.
Retard strength.
United States is fire with retard strength.
Write that down. Like, write that down, Alex. Retard strength.
Imperial retard strength.
Retard strength empire. That's what I'm going for. That's the show title.
That's what the world Jesus says. The world's like, oh boy, like that guy is really strong, but he's also really fucking retarded, so don't make him mad. Like, that's what we are. That's the United States.
That's actually just kind of like how you see like the big black guys in like your high school hallways. Like, oh God.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to set them off. Just don't even look at them. They're really stupid and they're really strong, and no one cares. And there's no one to stop them when they want to beat something up.
It's also like 25 years old.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, how can I play dodgeball with this guy? Dude, I remember they have like 20-year-olds like whipping dodgeballs like 11-year-old white kids. What the fuck is this?
So you're saying the system's like Tiny Lester?
Face if he hits you.
Zeus
and black, like fully developed male, like in the prime of his life, he should be like hunting the antelope or something like that, like on the plains of Africa. And instead, he's like hunting 11-year-old white children with a dodgeball.
Well, let's be honest. He's 25-year-old black. He should be in Africa, like dying of dysentery because he drank the water he just took a shit in.
Fair enough.
Really where he should be.
He's actually way more well fed than he should be. Like all his fast twitch muscles are getting way too much protein. That's why he's whipping that dodgeball. This kid was like 18 when I was like, you know, I was in like sixth grade. This kid was like literally 18 years old, and he fucking whipped it at this girl's face. It's like, and this white girl, she's standing there like a target. She's a very bad athlete, but had to play gym anyway with a 20-year-old fucking black man. And she whipped it at her, and she just fucking dropped. He ended up getting suspended. That was in like the early 90s, so you can still suspend these people for this shit. But yeah.
Debo's dodgeballs, that's another alternate show.
She just dropped. Her whole face was red. She was crying. It was those, you know, those big rubber red balls you used to play with in school? Remember those?
Yes. Yes. Those things fucking hurt.
Her whole face was. Anyway. But he ended up getting suspended for that. Because there was a rule in dodgeball, you can't go for the head, you got to go for the body. And he would always be going for the head. And boy, did he connect that time. But yeah, why are we having such a ridiculous situation where like 12-year-old white girls are playing dodgeball with 20-year-old black men? Why is that even a thing that ever happens? Well, it's because of the fucking retard empire.
I love retard empire. That's great. Somebody should shoot the logo of the show Empire. Just make it retard empire. Or you could do the retard empire strikes back. We could do that. It's always striking. Well, it's never striking back. It's always.
It's just like striking out. It's like lashing out in like completely like, incomprehensible way.
Yeah, the U.S. Empire is Debo on that creaking bicycle coming at your porch.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, so, the alt-right is just
so in the,
smoky.
But so in the middle of.
He did that!
Smoky. Ah, fuck.
Like Greg and Smokey are like, oh shit, Debo coming. Oh shit, God,
nigga, hide all your anti-Semitism.
Fish Lobby is like Debo on that bike, that creaky bike, like coming at you. It's like the alt-right is like Craig and Smokey.
Oh shit, here come Debo, get inside, nigga, get off the porch.
So caught in the middle of all this though is the people of Chicago, right? Like we had a caller last night describing, you know, the drawdown of the population of the county, of people just leaving the city but now we've got several series of just law enforcement just completely losing control of the city to a certain extent, right?
Shit Congo.
I mean, yeah. we had back in February we had that one cop, what the hell was his name? Where he shot Duquan or Laquan, whatever the fuck his name is.
He shot Dookie and or she shot Poot or Duke whatever. Duke, no, the guy's name was Laquan McDonald, but it's like, yeah, wow. I wonder if that guy's black.
Yeah, I had this here. What is this? Illinois Supreme. Yeah, this was Laquan McDonald. Culture of Medik.
Wait, why did that guy work? Wasn't that guy in the culture of Medik? Yeah, that's an old one. I think we came up with that a while ago.
Probably.
Culture of Medik. But, like, I think, wasn't he in the draft this year? I feel like that's what you look like. You look like the draft, like the NBA draft, the NFL draft. Like, everybody's name is like that. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
right.
Shit.
Yeah. So he shot this guy. He was carrying a knife or something. He was running around in the streets terrorizing people, and he got shot by a cop. And the cop was convicted. We watched that live on the show.
Yeah, that was when we didn't realize, like, there was no more.
There's his picture. You want to see that? Yeah, that's the officer. So he was shot. Then we also had.
Like deer in the headlights there. He's like, wait, I thought we got off for this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, no.
And then
not
we
any
had
more guy.
And then we had we're the then we had the Chicago Middle Earth murder. In Midlothian, where the police officer shot like the bouncer who was actually holding somebody down at gunpoint in the club when they burst in. It's like, it's understandable, like, oh, you just saw a black guy with a gun with somebody pinned down, you just assume like, oh God.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, hey, bouncer, big, strong bouncer guy, maybe don't have a gun as a black guy, because black guy with a gun equals
or just,
police.
Not even that. How about just about when the cops come in and say, drop your weapon, don't try to be like, no, I'm the good guy, I got it. It's like, no, just like drop your weapon.
Just put it down.
Just put it
like, in that bouncer, though. You got to control those rowdy Negroes, and then
well,
you get
it. I get it, but it's like, okay.
But like when the cops show up, it's time to just like comply. Even, you know, you can explain later that, oh, I'm the bouncer here.
I hate to say it, like, this is the thing. Like, I don't like the. We talked a lot about rules of engagement in the United States for police versus like other places where guns are not as prevalent. And like, look, I'm not anti-gun. I am very much pro-gun, but like. This is another reality of that situation, which is when you have a gun and the police show up, it's time to put the gun away.
Yes, when they tell you to. It reminds me of dealing with my children. It's like the other day I was telling my daughter like how it's time to stop doing this and go do that, and I kept just like cutting her off because she kept, well, actually, I'm just trying to tell you that, and she like storms off. I'm like, the point is, like, when I say it's time to do this, it's just time to do that. You don't need to explain
it. There's
no discussion. It's like, yeah. So that's kind of how it's going.
My dad used to always say that to me when I was a kid. He'd be like, this isn't democracy.
Yes.
There's no discussion.
Right.
And, yeah. And so it's sort of like that. It's like with police, it's like, it's also like, that's like actually for your own good. That's like, so you don't die.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get the issues with that being the rules of engagement, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sure, like, maybe that's sad because actually, like, the decent Negro in that case was the one that we shot. But mm-hmm. look, if you don't drop a gun when a police tells you to, when the police tell you to drop a gun and you don't, like, they're going to fucking unload on you. And, like, actually, I understand. Like, first of all, white people know it's time to put guns away, period, if they even hear that police are coming. I've been in so many places where, like, so many. I haven't been in many, but I've legitimately, you know, I've seen this in a book where, you know, if police are going to be someplace, white people are like, oh, well, I'm armed. Let me go put my gun in my lockbox in my trunk because the cops are on their way or something like that. Now, this is a book that I heard about.
Was it Hunter?
No, that was actually,
I don't like that book.
He never put that gun away.
No.
In that book. But, you know, in a book I read, you know, but that's just general. I mean, this is generally people I know that maybe are know about firearms. This is the kind of one of the rules they tell you. Like, mm-hmm. if you know the police are coming mm-hmm. and you have a firearm legally with due process obtained, because that's how white people carry their firearms within the bounds of the law. It's time to put that gun in the lockbox in the trunk because there's no good outcome for having that in your hand when the cops.
No, that's going to make them nervous. And
outcome. So you just put that
and
away.
You're not black, so there's not going to be a very big to do when you get shot for not complying, because white people all expect you to comply, and you yourself expect yourself to comply. So it's just let's not even tempt fate.
The other thing you're supposed to do, and this is legitimate, I've never seen it, but I've always heard it said, is if you have a gun, you're supposed to, and you can't put it away because the circumstances is not near the whatever. You're supposed to be like, have your hands already up, and when the cops says, be like, officer, there's a gun. I'm telling you where it is. You get it. You get it, and you put it where you want it. And I'm going to keep my hands.
I'm going to keep my hands. Literally,
that's what you're supposed to do. That's the best thing to do. And if the cop says do this or that, they start telling you to move. Just say, I'm too afraid to move because there's a gun in my car or on my hip or something, and I don't want to get shot. You please, I will keep my hands where they are. You retrieve the gun. If you want, have your partner retrieve it, whatever, but I don't want to move because if I go for that gun, you're going to fucking shoot me. So don't ask me to put the gun anywhere. Right?
Yeah, right.
That's what happened to that poor guy in the hallway.
Yeah.
That was fucking, that was a disgrace. I don't want that to happen to me. If I were him, I remember actually Tree of Logic.
Did he even have a gun? A cop.
He didn't have a gun.
No, he didn't have a gun. He thought he did.
But Tree of Logic, who used to be, who had no sympathy for this guy because she's black and he was white. But she did say, I remember when I talked to her, she did say, look, what he should have done is said, I'm sorry, I'm just too scared to move. Please don't make me move.
Right, right.
And just like, just stayed there prone. And then like, there's just like legitimately no fucking excuse for shooting somebody that says that.
No.
If you say that and the body cams are running and they shoot you, it's like, wow, what the fuck? So yeah, that's so the your
next,
best option.
So the next thing we got here, some more Chicago, just the law enforcement just losing its grip. This is from the Freedom Beacon, unbiased, independent news. So I think this is like cop block tier websites are celebrating this little event. Drug suspect escapes in Chicago after a threatening crowd surrounds the officer making the arrest. Listen to this story. Two officers witnessed a drug transaction at about 2:10 in the afternoon on March 20th. They tried to arrest the suspect, however. They drew the attention of bystanders. One officer went to grab the drug. Somehow a bundle of drugs ended up under the police car. One officer went to grab them. While he was doing that, about 10 people surrounded the other officer, who was still with the suspect. The group surrounding the officer implied they had weapons and behaved threateningly toward the officer. The officer reportedly called in over the radio saying, "Yeah," saying he was surrounded by 10 people, one of whom indicated that he would use a firearm against me. There was a gunshot fired nearby. That left the officer with a choice, stand his ground and risk escalating the situation, or stand down. And he chose the latter, and one of the people in the crowd pulled the suspect away and fled, and pulled the drugs away as well. So what's not written in that paragraph, which it's missing, it's like the officer left with a choice, stand his ground, and not just risk escalating the situation, but risk being punished for doing his job.
Also, one, risk right? getting he, like, shot like, right there.
Well, there's getting
right?
shot, but it's all, but it's also like if he defends
if he
himself.
He shot one
and,
of them.
Yes, yeah. if he did anything to preserve his own life other than surrendering to this mob, like his career and his freedom would be forfeit. I mean, how long would he be tangled up in the courts? And in Chicago, we learned he would probably be fucking thrown in jail for the rest of his life or something like this for preserving.
You get
so,
a Chicago jury, right?
Yeah,
you get a Chicago jury,
right? So
Chicago jury. Let's also who'd be prosecuting him? Kim Fox.
Yeah, right.
Kim Fox would be prosecuting him, right? No, they would, legitimately that would be who. And he's like, dude, God damn it! If I shoot one of these niggers, like damn. Fucking Kim Fox is gonna have my head.
Every time I think of Kim Fox, I keep thinking of that character that
keep thinking of the, like, the Jamie. Of someone,
remember when Jamie Foxx was dressed up as a woman on Living Color? What was the name of that fucking character?
When I think Kim Fox, I think isn't she have a rap album coming out, or isn't she also on Empire? Like it's like these are the names of like black people. It's like black people outside of an entertainment setting.
There
it's
we
just
go.
Weird.
I found her.
It's like really the only thing black people are good for is like sports and entertainment. And it's like, so you think of it, oh, that's a notable black. Is she a rapper? Is she a R&B singer? Who's Kim Fox? I've heard that name.
That's,
oh,
what,
she's
I think,
a prosecutor.
That's what I think of when I think of when I hear the name Kim Fox. That's Jamie Fox. Well, I can't remember what the catchphrase was that he used to say in that character. Like, and he kept,
I don't know.
He's always putting on the lip balm and shit. Like,
yeah. Dude, that's back when black people were legitimately funny.
Yeah.
Like, this is, that's Special Prosecutor Kim Fox, DA, Cook County Special,
right there.
Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox right here. Jussie Smollett, innocent, y'all.
I'm ready to go. That's what
Jussie
you used to say.
Jussie didn't do nothing, y'all.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. That's what he used to say.
That's Kim Fox on her way to court. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Jussie Smollett, innocent, y'all. I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. God damn. Oh my God. There's a 2 hour and 20 minute best of. It's Wanda. Oh my God.
Wanda.
That was the name, Wanda.
Oh, actually, it does look like. Remember Wanda Sykes? What were we calling? Brenda Snipes or something like that? Brenda we were Snipes. Calling her Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes.
No, that was her name, Brenda Snipes. That fucking black woman. That she legitimately looked like that. That was like Wanda, except 20 years older, was Brenda Snipes. Or Snipes. Whatever the fuck her name was. But I think it was Snipes. But we were calling her Wanda Sykes because, like, she looked like Wanda Sykes. All these women look the fucking same, dude.
So what do you got? Some other stuff on this story. Who's tweeting this? Walk toward the fire? I don't know who this is. Going to be a bad summer. Oh, this is from holy crap, a mob surrounded two cops making a drug bust in Chicago. I guess there's nothing more here. We got all the details we need there.
Well, like, but I love how libertarians like lug this because they're like, this is freedom.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is freedom, right? You would be totally free. Why don't you, white libertarian, go move to that part of Chicago because they got freedom. They have ultimate freedom. They fight back against the cops and win because freedom. That's what this is. That this is white people will feel free in this society where black people are free. Where black people are free to do this. That means white people also have freedom, right?
It used to end before Somalia. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well,
why don't you go move to Somalia?
This is a combination of letting blacks do whatever they want and when whitey being afraid to do anything. Because it's not like whitey fundamentally can't control blacks. Like, it's been done throughout most of history. It's totally doable. And in fact, fairly easy. All you had to do is basically be like, you know what? This is how it's going to be. And, like, we're not letting you use courts and shit like that in, like, shitty ways to, like, fuck us up when we try and we're enforcing the law against you. Like, no. Like, this is how it's – and it would be, honestly, from the perspective of, like, blacks, it would be better for them. Because letting blacks run free is, like, the worst thing you can do for them.
What you're supposed to do is
– shut the fuck up, nigger!
Yeah.
That's what the justice system is supposed to do. If you're gonna have this country that has this population in it,
and it used to be like that, it was like that until our
Black
pals.
Alert.
I have a present from you. I have a present from you from Nifty, and boy, you're gonna love it. I'm not gonna tell you what it is.
Is it just a ream of song lyrics? Just like a big box?
No. It's actually great. Okay, you're gonna love it, and I'm gonna show it to you when I get home. It's gonna be great. Okay, you're gonna love it. Have we finished this hour? I need to get some water.
Yeah, we're good. I didn't queue up the end of the hour bumper, so now you have to sit there and filibuster while I do it.
That's fine. Let me filibuster while you do that. So
there, all right, I did it.
All right, you got it.
Filibuster over. Cool. So we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to TDS on the Right Stuff.
Doc Biz.
One day when I finish this song, it's going to be amazing. This song right here? Hey! It's the baby atheist, Tips Bedora. He's eating the microphone.
Yes. He's like, m'lady.
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 He looks good.
That's what he says to his mom. He's like, hello, m'lady.
Talk into it. You don't chew on it.
He's not interested. He's like, my gums are killing me right now. You don't understand. He's like, I need to rub my gum against something. I got to get that sensation.
So let's see. So let's start this. We're going to angry react right now. I tried to trigger Jazz and Ethnarch last night. It didn't work. So we'll just put this visual on in the background. If you haven't seen this this new Rammstein. The new Rammstein video, which the Jews were extremely worked up about because they used Holocaust imagery. Okay. I mean, we're going to have these are some we get some we get some of these Visigoths, these Germanic barbarians.
Yeah, what's with these fucking weird people? And so this is like are they saying like this was a bad thing for the Germans to have done? Let's kill all these Romans in the Teutoburg Forest. This is like a legendary battle.
It's like, the song is very much it's a very cucky song about how evil, mean, and bad Germany has been. He sarcastically uses the Deutschland über alles line in the song in a very climactic point and. Yeah, there's a point in here where there's
what
a point.
What is that?
So
what is
there
that?
We have
and that's
it.
That's yeah. Germania. That's now what happened. The storyline that happens with her. That's Germania. This black woman. At different points during the video, she is impregnated by the singer of the band. There, she's carrying the severed head of the singer of the band. They play him multiple roles. So at one point, she's impregnated by him. She's also carrying his head around. Further in the future, she actually gives birth to two mutts, which is pretty funny. She like gives birth and it's like these two ugly looking dogs. She is carrying the singer's head again. And it's just like the whole thing is like, wow, just wow. Here's how Germany is being transformed in this mud paradise run by Jew. There she is there. The whole song is basically Holocaust. Holocaust.
Shane doesn't like it either.
Yeah, it's Holocaust Guilt, the like super multi-million dollar like music video version. And yes, they're doing the battle there. There he is with a bunch of swords sticking out of him. Looks like a shish kebab. Good stuff.
Yeah, so I don't even know like what this is supposed to represent. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm sure I could probably figure. Here we have some savage, brutal white men like boxing with. This is looks like something that really happened in history, probably. Like this.
There's the negress again. Why the fuck is she in this?
Dude, this band sucks. Fuck these people. Look at these assholes. What? Look at these fuck. Is that guy Jewish?
Yeah, the one guy was like the one guy was like a Jew. He's got like no chins, giant.
Look how like these guys are vaguely supposed to invoke Hitler. Also, like let's be honest, well, like because the forelock and the mustache.
Well, yeah, they're being German and assertive, so therefore Hitler.
Yeah, but I mean, book like they made both. They gave both of them a forelock and mustache, not necessarily total Hitler mustache, but it invokes it. You know, it's invoking. Dude, these guys look like fucking kikes.
Well, that's the thing.
The guys in this band look like Jews.
That's the thing. The amount of Jewish money behind this production for them to get like outraged.
How many
about
guys?
It.
Those are the people in the band, right?
Like, yeah, right there. Those guys there. Yeah, not her.
Okay, how many of them are Jewish?
I don't know
for real. Because these guys look like fucking kikes.
I wouldn't be surprised if at least three of them were. A couple of them just look German to me.
I'm telling you, they look like they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
I think this is fetishizing and otherizing this.
See, here they are now. Here's the scene that's interesting. Like. The black woman is her? The black woman is laid out on a table, and there's like meat and there's like sauerkraut all over her, and they're just like chowing down. It makes it look like they're eating this poor Negress, as if like the existence of Germany depends on like eating the flesh of Africans or something.
Dude,
which
is
weird. It's just weird, edgy shit. But
what the fuck?
It's just edgy.
This is just like stupid, though. This is actually just dumb. Look, that guy looks like a Jew.
Have you heard the track though? At risk of copyright takedown. I mean, like. It's a fucking banger. It's like dancey, it's heavy. I'll turn that back down so we get in trouble. But now they're in space. Well, I don't know what they're doing in space. It's only Chinese
Germany
people
never
go to
space.
Only Chinese people do now.
Mastodon did a way better music video in space.
Who, Mastodon?
Yeah.
I like Mastodon.
Yeah.
Here they are, like, get in the car, faggot. We're fucking, we're abandoning our heritage. Get in the car, faggot. We're abandoning our heritage.
Yeah, seriously, dude. There's, I would love to get a just a,
oh here we go here
actual...
here now here, here now we're to the point where all the controversy came from here.
I mean,
wind back.
Here we are.
We're in the concentration camp. The half the band is going to be dressed up in the striped pajamas that we're all so familiar with, and a little yellow.
Yeah. Oh,
sheriff's
and then, of course there's like the hysterical Jew.
Here we go. Here we go. Here they are.
Understand like
yeah, like they just like they said that this was like glorifying.
No, notice.
Using the Holocaust for marketing, for selling records. It's like they're not. It's, also, like, no, it's like no, really. They're trying to do the bit with you here. They're trying to make the point that like Germany's evil and their heritage is evil, and they don't know how they can love their country or be nationalistic at all because of what was done. And now, see, here's one of the guys.
But
in
that's
the
thing with the Holocaust. The Holocaust is just a symbol of something. It doesn't even refer to whatever historical event actually occurred. It's just a free floating symbol that you use to.
Yeah, it implying that the Holocaust itself is not a marketing fucking coin for somebody else. It's like there's only one thing you're supposed to sell with Holocaust imagery, right? Only one
Jewish
thing,
power.
Jewish supremacy. So somebody trying to like get in on
it's
that.
Like, I don't even think it's that. I think it's like they didn't get proper authorization from like Yad Vashem to do this. It's like they should they needed to this is like perfectly in line with everything Jews want to do, right? It's like perfectly Jewish. This is so Jewish. Everything
this
about
this is the most
this
Jewish
is,
video
oh,
I've ever
man.
Seen.
Look at the
this is like the most Jewish
culture.
Thing I think I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
Look at this scene with all these
ugly.
Guns.
Holy shit!
Look at this gratuitous gun violence.
Deutschland.
Has the song started yet?
Yeah, that's the song. I turned up the volume in two random spots. Is doing the same exact thing.
That's like the intro to the song, though.
Deutsch! There we go. She's French kissing his
really,
severed.
This is really pissing me off a lot.
Yeah.
But it's so disgusting.
Yeah.
It's like, why is all this imagery lurid and dark and gross? It's like, can't we just, like, what
because
the fuck?
Deutsch Rammstein.
I get, like, the edgy aspect.
It's very
of it, but
edgy.
It's just like, shitty. Like, I can't even imagine anybody liking this. Like, what the fuck is this now? Like, this is what? It's like giving birth to like mulatto children here.
Crusaders, Teutonic Knights. And,
yeah,
yes, and they are.
That's what we're doing. See, she gives birth.
What
to,
the
like,
fuck?
It's a dog. I told you, she gives birth to literal mutts. She's been impregnated by the white.
You meant, like, mulatto children.
No, like literal mutt dogs. Like two of them. She gives birth to these twin fucking mutt fucking.
Dude,
like...
Is that Karl Marx? Did you see that?
I don't know. Here they see now. There's
no,
the
dude. There was but a scene. Just
they just
a second
they just
ago.
Flipped right by. Did you see
go
the
back,
payoff?
Like there was a big head behind them. Just go back even further. Go back a little bit further.
A little bit further than that. A little further than that.
Wait, I think it's after this. There's going to be a big Karl Marx head behind him. Wait, just wait, wait, wait. Yeah, there he is.
That is Karl Marx.
Hey, yep, you're right. I didn't catch that.
That's East. That's.
That's all. This is supposed to be. It's supposed to be East Germany. Yes, they go through the. They do include the Easter. Yeah. I did read that somewhere. So there you go. There's marks. But here's the big payoff is like when for some reason the concentration camp inmates there are there you go. They should definitely
They turn the guns on the Nazis.
Yeah, but they're also
they're not going to want to do a circular firing squad.
That's what I was going to say. Like, wait a minute. What are they trying to say here? They're like in a circle. Like, who's going to die? This. Who's going to get hit?
Yeah. Well, everybody. In that formation, everybody gets hit. Maybe everybody should.
Yeah.
That's everybody kind of, in this video should be shot.
Maybe that's why the Jews are mad. It's like, wait a minute.
Everybody having anything to do with the production of this video should be shot. Circular firing squad is a perfect way to do it.
So this woman playing Germanic, did you see her face right there?
Yeah.
Like she's not just black. She has that horrible, like, overbite that only blacks can have. Look at that. Ah! Look at that. Oh, that fucking maw.
A gaping maw of diversity.
It's like gold.
Open diversity is coming to eat you with big buck teeth.
Oh my god!
I think I heard Devo's creaking bicycle just now.
Devo,
dude, give me Devo. Devo's like, please, can I have Devo back? Can I just have Whippet, please? That was so much better. Like, you must whip it when you do a depraved video. You must whip it.
That guy just threw a Molotov cocktail at nothing.
Yeah, well, here we are eating the monks eating the bot. What the dude? This symbolism is so fucking Jude. Everything about
there we go. There we go.
But maybe like they're saying, maybe on some
over singing Kumbaya.
No, I'm not going to try and do that
over this a bunch of dead Nazis. Like, where's Carl at here? It's just that should be the audio that goes along with this video. Let me see. Over a bunch of dead Nazis. Where'd it go? Greatest Generation. Fuck! I can't find my Carl drops. I'm so disorganized. I shouldn't have this job.
You didn't see the men of our greatest generation storm the beaches in Normandy just so they could do the whip and the nay-nay over a bunch of dead Nazis.
Like, literally, this shit came true. This is the whip and the nay-nay over dead. Look at this garbage fucking bullshit. Like,
there's this
imagine, like, doing this video and thinking you're doing something, like, profound and meaningful, and in fact, it's just, like, shit. It's like a big mound of fucking garbage, feces, and intestines.
And now you're, like, going to sell a whole bunch of extra copies because the Jews got mad and, like, called you out on it.
It's sort of like, to the extent Jews got mad, it was dumb. Like, what is this? Like, fucking, why the space shit? Germany, you never went
to
space.
I don't know.
You would have gone to space.
Ruby Comey as Germania.
Oh, God. Daddy's Comey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rammstein. See, let's look at the names. Christoph Schneider.
Paul
Landers.
Yeah, all German names.
That's why I can't tell. That's why I told you I can't tell. Yeah. Till Lindemann, that's the singer.
Okay.
Richard Crispy.
Is this just an Instagram thought that they picked for this video?
I guess so. I don't know. You're looking
I think so.
Oliver Rydell.
So these are their names. These are Rammstein's. Look, I mean, the problem is they're German.
Yeah, I know.
And so if we were in America, I would be like, oh, God. Oh, yeah, right. My God. But yeah.
So that actress,
that
I guess,
name is literally Berlin.
Yeah, no, she's part of the Berlin Theater. Ruby Comey is.
Well, yeah, but that's Ruby Comey. This guy's last name. Now, in America, oh, God, Irving Berlin. Oh, my God. Who is he?
This is like Weimar 2.0.
Okay, so these are studio names. I don't know.
These are like,
A lot of Jews do have the last name Berlin, because you know a lot of times Jews give place names?
Yes.
That's why I was like, Halsey English? What kind of name is that? You're English. Why do you need to emphasize the fact that you're English? Right. English people know they're English.
There they are again.
So someone's name is Hell Yes. Okay, cool.
Yes, he did the score.
Was done by Hell Yes.
Yes, because like right, sure. if you turn the sound on now, if you turn the sound on now, the song's over. It's just some like movie score bullshit playing right now. It's just like,
not
why does the music video have a score?
Because it's a 10-minute video for a 4-minute song. So they made like
I made a little movie.
Yeah. Merlin Ortner. I don't know what kind of name that is. So that's the
this is garbage.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe just because sometimes Germans also have big noses, just like sometimes English people have big noses too. It's like actually only Americans have like small noses, but you know, I don't know. I can't tell. Some of those guys look hyper Jewish, but they could just be German. I don't.
Well, they're spiritually Jewish. They hate themselves for being German. I mean, that's what's going on. That's what's gearing on.
Whether there's some Jews in the band or not, it doesn't really matter. They're spiritually kiked. They hate themselves. They're disgusting people. Yeah. They did a disgusting, lurid, gross video for no reason. Totally like attention hog shit.
But you watch it.
Shitting on their country's history for like.
And they still get upcoming. And they get called out for being anti-Semites for it. Like, this is the level to which the Jews can't let anything go right now. It's like you have to ban everything off of Facebook, ban everything off Twitter, ban everything off of everything. And then, by the way, this video that is totally, like, cucking to our narrative about the world, we have to, like, come down on this, too, because, oh, God, they...
It's like Jews. It's like Jews. The problem is, like I said, they didn't apply to the official, can we use Holocaust shit, office at the Yad Vashem to ask,
you would think we're going to do an edgy video,
but it's totally affirming your narratives. Don't worry. There's going to be a Holocaust image, but don't worry, we're on your team.
You would think that, like, a world-renowned German heavy metal band that wants to do, they're so married to your narrative that they don't even think they need to ask permission to do imagery that affirms it. Like they're so sold on their own national guilt on the subject that they think that they can just go and do an apology video for it. That, like, you know, you still get in trouble. It's amazing. But here it is, German.
Well, that's rock. Because with a lot of times people that are totally bought in, they think that it's just like everybody actually feels bad about it. Mm-hmm. And this is like a thing that is like real. So it's like we can just use these Holocaust images and Nazi uniforms and people in striped pajamas with yellow stars and shit. We can just use this because this is just a common industry. These are common motifs in our culture that is there for the using for various artists to pick up on and use. They don't realize this is like copyright, you know, Yad Vashem, 2019. Like, they don't realize that it is. And so they're like, because they don't realize, like, they don't know. Like, if you told these guys, you know, guys, Jews control the media, they'd be like, nah, because we can do media, though.
Yeah.
And it's like, and yeah, well, you can.
Now they just learn.
Like,
now they just learn.
You got to figure out. Like, so you Felix, don't get to just willy-nilly use their shit. Like, those yellow stars and those striped pajamas and those Hugo Boss, those good-looking Hugo Boss uniforms, which are wasted on a negress with an overbite, by the way, put her in it, and it's like, wow, all of a sudden it doesn't look as cool.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, you got to have it looking at a sharp-looking white guy. Then it looks fucking awesome.
So,
but
Felix Klein, Felix Klein, Germany's most senior official for the fight against anti-Semitism, said that the musicians of Rammstein have crossed a red line by staging themselves as moribund concentration camp inmates. If this is merely supposed to further their sales, I hold this to be a tasteless exploitation of artistic freedom.
Jews are supposed to be making sales off of this kind of
Only Jews are supposed to make lurid Holocaust films and
listen to this one.
Sell books.
Listen to this one. Michael Wolfson, a prominent Jewish historian in Germany, said it was, quote, a kind of necrophilia entirely unacceptable. It's like, wow.
Well, actually,
when the projection hits.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
It's like, I agree. That is a necrophiliac video. It's disgusting.
Oh, here you go, Mike. Iris Rosenberg, spokeswoman for Yad Vashem, just said the Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem. We call on artists to act responsibly and respect the memory of the Holocaust victims as well as the survivors who withstood the terror of the era. The terror of the era, she said.
Respectfully, we mean, like, you've got to apply to our office. And like, look, if they had cleared this with the central office ahead of time, they probably could have done it. That what they're being slapped down for now is, like, you didn't clear this with the central office to the Yad Vashem. That's like the international, like, Jew Holocaust bit. I don't know exactly. It's like the Holocaust Museum, but it's more than that. It's just like literally the Holocaust. It's like the ADL does, like, the we're gonna control the media bit in the U.S. They do, like, the hey, we control everything Holocaust, Yad Vashem. Yeah. Oh boy, there he goes. Mm. There he goes. Bite on that mic.
So that was Politico's coverage.
Your gums are killing you. Anyway,
that was good stuff. Funny stuff. So from one Nazi to another, let's talk about Ben Shapiro.
Heroin is not always such a bad thing, because, like, you're supposed to just overdose at the height of your career and not keep persisting.
Yeah, these guys didn't overdose.
The shit.
Like Rammstein, why didn't you just overdose on heroin 10 years ago? What the fuck? that was your exit ramp. Now you're, like, in your 50s doing this gay shit. Literally, those guys are in their 50s, and they look awful. Mm.
They
like,
do look awful.
You know, that eyebrow piercing, that might look cool when you're like 20, but oof, wow, that's not the good look. Oh, I'm sorry. Gages, too.
At least have the good grace to go out the height of your career. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You should stay past your welcome.
Kurt Cobain, like, did it right.
Yeah.
He fucking swallowed it. He swallowed a fucking shotgun shell, like, right at the time when he needed to.
Man, if Rammstein did that, like, would anybody care though? Like, I don't know. I haven't bought a Rammstein album since like
I could have eaten. He's eating the wrong end of a shotgun, and like nobody would have cared. Yeah. And then they do this video, and like, wow, now everyone's going crazy.
I haven't noticed a Rammstein album since the year 2000. I bought Mutter.
I've always just been garbage.
It's kind of like mediocre, but here and there they hit on something that sounds really good, and that's basically all it is. Like, I was watching this, and I was like, I couldn't believe how good it sounded. I was like, wow, that recording is great.
The production on the recording is fucking
fantastic.
Awesome. Probably a cool song if you took the lyrics out.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm just going to pretend that they say something else because they're in a different language that I don't know. It's just
pretend they're like glorifying Deutschland.
Yeah, Deutschland. Like with that voice of his. It's like, I'll take that. I would do my own version of it for us, but like I have the levels of the levels of head cold that I have to get on to be able to do that voice of his would get so sick to be able to do that. Deutschland.
Just watch that video a few more times.
Yeah, I might get sick. That's a different kind of sick though. I might lose my lunch. I might lose my taco meat.
It was legitimately just like gross. It's like, look, I get it. Like, it's not like my stomach is so gentle that like I can't deal with that. But like I get it. But it's also like, dude, why do that? Why do you need to cover a black woman in meat and like eat it? Like, it's just gross. Like, just stop. Just stop it.
Yeah, don't, but it's like a symbol for how we like otherize blacks and consume them instead of appreciating them as authentic human beings.
I love how the trap of like there's no good way to interact with blacks. Like you can't like their culture. You can't like them personally. You can't enjoy their culture. You can't really do anything with them. So it's just like
it's kind of like in real life. You can't really. That's the truth. Like, you can't do anything with these people.
Just can't do anything with these people.
can't loan them your bicycle. They don't give it back.
Loan them. Can't park your bicycle. Oh God.
Oh God! I just got terrible news.
Oh no.
Coinbase.
Jesus.
Notice of account closure.
Oh, is your? Oh, wow.
Uh oh.
Let me see what it says.
Are we still doing Bitcoin? I think that was like 2 years ago.
No,
this is so. They didn't even close my account because I literally don't have any funds in there, and I haven't done shit with it for fucking 2 years. It's because engaged in prohibited use in violation of our terms of service. I haven't ever used Coinbase.
That's weird.
This is the shit. Remember, this is the shit that was happening like a year and a half ago to people, and they didn't get my account. It's funny. This must be part of this whole like. You know, response to the fucking New Zealand or whatever. I don't know. I don't really care. I had no Bitcoin in that account, and I never used Coinbase.
What? That's a hot take. That's a hot take, Shane. Thanks for sharing.
Anyway, it's sort of funny. And then they say notice of account closure. And they say your account has been successfully deleted. Now,
okay.
That's funny. Okay, fine. Like, literally, thank you for making it easy on me. I don't have to use that because I never used you anyway. I would never have used Coinbase.
I'm getting Mike cucked by my own son right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's just chomping down on that thing.
So we're going to talk about little Benny. Little Benny Shapiro. Yeah. You got the prep Benny there, Alex. He's being called, alt-right without the rage or something like that.
So that's what I think what The Economist initially called him, and then there's a bunch of Jew kvetching, so they had to change this to he's a radical conservative.
Ah, very radical.
He's a radical conservative now. And there's like this fucking
Federalist article
landslide of kvetching about this. And like it looks like one of the memes. I got this other article from The Federalist where they're talking about how why the left can understand the alt-right. You know, because to conservatives, it's so obvious. It's so obvious he's not part of the alt-right.
To conservatives, it is obvious that Ben Shapiro is not a member of the alt-right. Why is that so hard for many on the left to understand? This week, The Economist, one of the most respected outlets in the world, and arguably one that is centrist, falsely labeled pundit Ben Shapiro as the sage of the alt-right. Shapiro and seemingly
they're thinking of his sister.
you got it wrong. The Shapiro that the alt-right loves is what's her name, the sister, the one with the milkers.
I forget her name.
Like,
probably like Rachel or something.
This guy David
every Jewish girl's name is Rachel, so we'll just call her Rachel
Abigail.
Shapiro.
No Abigail.
Abigail is her name. Yeah, that's so nice. in this case, the misappellation was not just factually incorrect, it was unintentionally cruel. During the 2016 Republican primary, when the alt-right came to the fore as shock troops supporting Donald Trump, seemingly without his consent, Shapiro was perhaps more than any other public figure a target for their hateful tweets and rhetoric. Well, that's true. We have been making fun of Ben Shapiro to much profit for a long time because Ben Shapiro sucks. I wasn't pissed off when they did this. Somebody sent this to me yesterday. I got a text message from a friend that was just like this article, and I was dying. I couldn't really respond because I was in a car and I was not getting complete service or whatever. So I didn't even get to read it.
Have you ever put the Bad Optics ashtray on display here? This is the Bad Optics ashtray. I don't know if everyone likes that.
I love the Bad Optics ashtray. They didn't even realize that they did Bad Optics when they made that trade.
No, I was not even woke when I bought that.
But like, scroll up a bit so we can look at the author of this article. David Marcus. Oh, God. Mr. David Marcus, who, you know, I don't know.
Check out his definition of neocon.
Look at this. Like, can I comment for a second on this guy's thumbnail? Like, look at this. It's like, what is he's trying to do?
He's got a cigarette.
Smoking a cigarette. He's doing like this. I love like it's like the Max Boot with like the off kilter hat shit. It's like, look at me, the actual hard hitting journalist. What is it? What is his name? Blue Box Dave. How about like Blue Check Dave?
Blue Check Dave.
Like Blue Check Dave. Not Blue Box. It's a check, not a box, Dave. Check the blue box, and you got it. You got that fucking blue check.
By the way, who is this?
Doesn't look. This actually doesn't look particularly Jewish, and I don't know David. The name David could be anything. Mm. Marcus, it could go either way with that. But also, like, it's just like a shitty. Like, look at me. I'm an edgy, hard hitting journalist. Fucking.
I'm interested in this image up here. Like, this is too meta for me. Is like this image an illustration of how the left can't understand the alt right? Because this
it's like hey left, look, this is the alt right. This skinhead with like some Nazi type flag, which we don't even show you. The guy could be waving like just a normal flag, and it's just because he's got a shaved head that like made him into like some angry thing. But it does have the bad colors. It has the Bad Optics colors.
Yes,
it has the Bad Optics colors of red and black. So you know, I don't.
Wait, he's an Antifa?
Well, that's the funny thing. Watch, he's actually waving an Antifa flag. I would not be surprised. Look at the guy. No, I don't know who this guy is, but look, he maybe has some Bad Optics flag there. I don't fucking know. But this is what they want you to think of as the alt-right.
Right.
Because they're trying to meme it into it's just dumb neo-Nazi stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't have to actually deal with the fact that it's significantly newer and smarter and whatever, which there was a point at which they were saying that, but not because that was scary. But now, like, oh, wait, actually, we don't want this thing to be real. Most journalists, especially those of Jewish descent who opposed Trump at the time, were inundated with anti-Semitic tweets depicting images of hook-nosed Jews that had previously seemed to be relics of the last century. I myself received hundreds of these, at least during the primary. While I and others tried to shrug it off as a few anonymous trolls, many perhaps part of foreign intelligence campaign or foreign influence campaign. No, sorry.
Like Russians?
Like, sorry, guy. David, like, you're late. You don't do that anymore. That is dead. This was never foreign influence. This is real. It's real. It's in your fucking, we're in your mentions.
Israel.
Shrug it off to a few anonymous. Yeah. It took an emotional toll. They were difficult images to have to scroll through every day. Well, good. Keep it difficult. This is like one of the real reasons why Twitter censorship is going on. It's not, it's like partly because like narratives control and shit, but just like kvetching by people like this endlessly. I have to look at these hateful images. Oh my God.
Well, stop posting such shitty stuff and the hateful images will stop.
Here's an answer, David. Get off the internet. Get the fuck off the internet. Stop posting garbage. Stop being a Jew on the internet.
Yeah.
And like,
stop having awful points of view and opinions.
Stop being exactly what we predict you will be.
Stop
reifying our narrative constantly this won't happen.
Stop being that image of the hook-nosed, you know, evil Jew that you keep seeing. Yeah. It's like, that's why you're seeing it, because you're doing the bit, guy.
Yeah. There's other kvetchings here. Let's see.
Yeah. So no, there's a good piece right here where he starts talking about neocons.
Yes, this isn't particularly new.
This is
funny. This.
During the 2000s, a similar phenomenon happened with the term neocon. In the late 20th century, neoconservatism had a distinct meaning in conservative circles. It basically described...
Which is not the meaning I'm going to tell you about.
Yeah, it basically described ex-liberals who had moved to the right on the basis of hawkish foreign policy, but who retained fairly liberal views on social issues.
That's an interesting fantasy.
That's a neat definition.
That's an accurate definition. It's just missing one element.
It's missing. Well, what's missing? There's something just...
Something missing there. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
I can't...
A lot of echo.
There's something...
I'm Jewish.
I'm missing something.
I'm a Jew and I should die.
Oh, a little too edgy. Too edgy. I'm sorry.
The Jew...
There, that's what's... Is that what's missing?
The Jew...
That might be what's missing. As the George W. Bush presidency... The first deeply connected to the neocon movement went on, the term changed meaning. It came to simply mean very conservative or far right.
Oh,
it never meant that!
Oh, my God.
Eventually, the one specific term came to essentially mean nothing but conservative. I was like...
How about a hawkish Zionist?
Yeah, it's like...
Maybe that's
a lot wrong here. This is funny.
This is really bad. Something very similar happened with the term alt-right, but alt-right is not far-right. The alt is there for a reason. It's an alternative or a departure from actual mainstream conservatism. Again, it's an alternative to...
Listen to this paragraph. Having been the target of these vile and vicious trolls, there are a few very clear things that identify the alt-right. First is white nationalism displaying overt racism and anti-Semitism. Without that, it's not alt-right. Another is the use of hyper-violent rhetoric and imagery. Nightmarish visions of race wars to cleanse the republic. Finally, there is allegiance to its leadership, which includes figures like Richard Spencer. Well, look. Look, Marcus. But anyway, let me address the hyper violent rhetoric and imagery, nightmarish visions of race wars and cleansing the republic. Now,
fake news.
Who wrote an article? Now, this article is about Ben Shapiro, right? Who wrote an article about cleansing a country of another ethnicity?
Oh! I know. It's Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro. This is Jewish projection. This is Jewish projection at its finest. We do not talk about cleansing. We do not talk about killing people. We talk about Jews as the locus of power that is creating everything shitty in the world. Okay, we do talk about that. And we do talk about how we would like them to go away. It doesn't have to be violent. It could be peacefully done. All we have to do is say no to these people. I'm actually very peaceful. The one thing they don't tell you, the one thing he's not going to tell you, is that a major component of alt-right viewpoints is anti-war. He talks about the neocons. Think about what he's not talking about. He talks about neocons.
War and destruction.
Like how was neocon? He's like hawkish foreign policy views. Now, if you have a hawkish foreign policy view, you're talking about war and destruction and death of actually mainly brown people on an extremely high level that is realistic. Some autistic memer on 4chan doing a race war or Day of the Rope meme, whatever, that might be shocking to you, but whatever, it's free speech. This guy doesn't have any power. You're talking about neocons, you're talking about Jews, actual Jews in actual power who are actually unleashing what is a race war. But the thing is, they're not fighting it themselves. No. We fight it for them, mm-hmm. and we get all the blowback of the negative consequences and the negative image and the hate of that having been done in our name. We get all of that in our name. Well, the Jews get the race war they wanted, but they don't have to be the blame. They don't have to be blamed for it. And we talk about neocons with Hawkins. Now, he doesn't actually – the funny thing is, he doesn't do what Max Boot did. Where he's like, time to retire the term neocon. Now, Max Boot doesn't want the term neocon because it's connected with Jews. He doesn't even make that connection. He's saying, oh, it just came to mean hyper-conservative, hawkish, unformed, blah, 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 blah. But it was Jewish intellectuals. It wasn't just intellectuals that were ex-liberals. It was Jewish intellectuals. And they are Jewish. And Ben Shapiro isn't really neocon because he was never a liberal, right? They would say that now his views is perfectly aligned with neoconservatism. He's hawkish on foreign policy. He's liberal on his social views. Except with like trannies, because that's like his claim to fame is like he BTFOs like nameless liberal college students with like men are men and women are women. The facts don't care about your feelings. Right? And, oh God! And anybody that's taken in thinks this guy's actually smart because he can BTFO a fucking retarded liberal college.
Facts and logic.
Like, get the hell out of here with that. But like, okay, so Ben Shapiro actually wrote an article about cleansing a country of another race. He legitimately wrote an article about that, and it was a serious article. It was a serious policy proposal that a serious political party with actual power in his country is willing to and wanting to take out. They want to carry out this policy. They want to move all of these people. They want to ethnically cleanse their country legitimately, which would lead to a very real race war in Israel, in the Middle East, a very real race war. Now, there's a protracted race war going on there. Of course, there's also other wars. There's religious wars going on in which Israel sides with the most reactionary evil elements of Islamism to take out moderate and secular versions, because those people create strong states that could at one point challenge Israel, and that can't be allowed. So let's use these fucking grug-brained, fucked-up Islamists, and we'll empower them just to create chaos, because we just want chaos. We don't want strong states on our border. That's what's going on there. But there's nothing in here about neocons being Jewish. There's nothing in here about blaming alt-right for hyper-violent rhetoric. What the fuck is CNN? What the fuck was Fox News in circa 2003? What the fuck was all that? You're the hyper-violent ones. You're the ones that created a war that killed millions of people. You're the ones that fucking – Ben Shapiro is the one that talks about cleansing Arabs from his state. So get the fuck out of here. I think that's all.
Yeah, so the primary concern of this author is that the alt-right
Jewish bullshit.
Yeah, and mainstream conservatism is now just being merged together by the media, and there's no differentiation. Well, and it's not, like,
that's
hey, buddy.
Not entirely true either, but yeah.
It's like, that's kind of part of the mass media substrate, though, is the inability to like make those sorts of nuanced identifications. Like, you're just going to have to deal with it, bro. That's how it works.
But the other thing is, he also didn't understand that like The Economist wants to promote Ben Shapiro. Because what they want to do, it's like, it's part of the thing is, he doesn't realize that he thinks alt-right, like liberals on some level might not get this actual distinction with alt-right, okay? They get it, but there's a general consensus in the establishment that Ben Shapiro is where they want disaffected young white men to go for their rhetoric, right? And you know, Stryker's been making the prediction, and I think he's not wrong. I think he's probably right that by 2020, we're going to have Ben Shapiro sitting in Tucker Carlson's seat. On Fox News, because that's another thing we were going to talk about, was the convergence of Fox News. Fox News being converged. Fox News letting go Jeanine Pirro, hiring Donna Brazile. Tucker has literally no advertisers left except MyPillow and Fox News itself. Despite the fact that he gets 3.8 million views, he's like the top in his time slot. Literally, he is the top in his time slot and has been for years. And, you know, he's actually the only person anywhere on TV saying anything interesting. At all. And therefore, he's getting views. And, you know, advertisers flee that, even though, which also shows you this isn't about money. If this is about money, you would not be fleeing Tucker Carlson. It's not all about money. There's a definite ideology. There's a definite narrative that they are pushing, and Tucker Carlson falls outside that narrative. Therefore, he gets no advertisers, despite being the most popular pundit. I mean, think about that. Did you ever think you would have a point in America where the most popular cable news pundit had no advertisers? And it actually makes sense, because he is not sticking to script. He is not on script. Therefore, he eventually will not be on TV. And they will put Ben Shapiro is on script. The argument, in some ways, like as bad as the tranny stuff is, they want you mad about, and look, I'm mad about it too. It's disgusting. It's actually very, very bad. But Ben Shapiro takes a position on it that never is going to lead to anything. It's just, he's just like, men are men and women are women, okay? Vax, don't care about your feelings, logic. Yeah, let me BTFO you. Well, there's no policies that come out of that. There's no government policy. It's just, he's just vents. It's just, it's a release valve, but it's a shitty release valve. Because how many times can, facts don't care about your feelings, liberals. Snarky, snarky, snarky. How often is that going to, how long is that going to placate you for?
Yeah, like policy doesn't care about your facts.
Yeah, policy, exactly. Literally. Legitimately. That's very good. That's an excellent retort. Retort to Ben. But Ben knows what he's doing. Ben is there to prop up the whole system. Because he doesn't give a shit about America. He even said, I don't care about the brownie of America. But the brownie of Israel is of deep concern to you. Right? So, you know, fuck these people. Fuck this bullshit. These people are just hypocrites and liars. Like, how dare somebody talking about defending Ben Shapiro, talking about neoconservatism, start accusing the alt-right of, like, oh God, look, they're violent rhetoric, because there's a few memers on 4chan that do like gas chamber memes and have done like race war day of the rope memes which are actually very tongue-in-cheek. If you don't get it, like, I'm sorry, you're never going to get it. It's a fucking big joke. And therefore, you know, now people could debate the wisdom of such things or whatever, moderating them. Doesn't matter. Point is, it's funny. It was funny at the time. It's a joke. It's all ironic. It's hyper-ironic. You should get hyper-irony, you know, or post-irony or whatever you want to call it. Like, it's fucking a joke. But it's not a joke when Ben Shapiro says, let's move the Arabs to Egypt and Jordan. It's not a fucking joke when fucking Bill Kristol goes on TV and says, let's bomb the shit out of 10 Arab countries. It's not a fucking joke, or rather 7 Arab countries. It's not a joke when Bibi and Trump talk about the Dolan Heights is now Israel's and that's going to create more war. None of this is a joke. Like, these people are deadly fucking serious. And serious consequences happen. Wars happen. Deaths happen.
These people are deadly Syrian.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. And so the deadly anti-Syrian.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to be an asshole because that was a great it's pun, but, you know, it's not accurate.
Okay. Doesn't have to be.
But, yeah,
was
no,
it, puns was don't it, have was it clever?
So puns don't care about your facts. Or feelings.
Yeah, either one.
Puns only care about your clever sounding rhymy thing in your ear. But, yeah. No, like, this is bullshit. Like, fuck these people. Fuck all these people. All these people are fucking liars and hypocrites and disgusting human beings. A nice little fucking cigarette smoking, like, real journalist avatar. You know what? Putting that cigarette in your hand and looking like a cool pick version of something out of a David Lynch movie doesn't make you a real fucking Marcus.
Speaking of that, I just watched Lost Highway 2 nights ago.
Yeah. This guy's trying to do a Lynchian thing. I guess he is because he's like perverse in a surreal way. It doesn't make any sense.
Lost Highway. It's like the thing about seeing Lost Highway. It's like you don't understand any better than somebody who hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
It's like there's no reason to watch. That movie was, oh my God. Speaking of Rammstein, that was Rammstein's gigantic debut. They had two songs on the soundtrack. Yeah. That's where they came from.
I remember that movie more for the soundtrack than anything, actually.
Yeah. That weird Marilyn Manson song.
Yeah.
I got something you can never eat.
It's like, okay, sounds good. Song on
there. Yeah, I don't want to eat that. Whatever it is, please. I don't want to eat
I believe
this is gross.
I believe it was called the Apple of Sodom. So I guess you don't want to eat that. Somebody's like Sodom.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Brown, rotten, I don't even apple know what it is, core of Sodom. Like,
it's not the...
not going to eat that.
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Oh, there was some shitty Nine Inch Nails song on there, too.
God. Fuck, I hate this faux-edgy crap. Faux edgy shit is just, it's like, you want to talk about hyper violent, edgy fucking, look at that Rammstein video. Look at that shit. Look at that garbage. And you're complaining, oh God, oh my God, there's a guy on Twitter that's doing this, put as a meme of a hook-nosed Jew in a gas chamber. How terrible. Look at that Rammstein video. Look at that garbage. You're going to complain about like some like funny images that people are doing in MS Paint that are obviously a joke. And ironic when you're putting that kind of like fucking hyper produced $1 million produced fucking filth on TV or on the internet or whatever the fuck it is that people watch now. So you're mad that a guy did a funny MS Paint GIF of a hook-nosed Jew.
Oh boy.
Like flies buzzing around his head as like a smiling Hugo Boss guy presses the button. Come on, dude. That's just funny. It's at least funny and in good humor. Your shit is just like, dude, your shit is just like this hyper fucking lurid garbage that is just
I just found another terrible paragraph in this article I want to read.
Good. Wow, let's do it.
Favoring control of the border and more limited illegal immigration is not an alt-right position unless it is rooted in the belief that such immigration forbodes white genocide.
But it does.
Yeah. Opposing affirmative action is not an alt-right position unless it is rooted in pseudoscientific babbling about the racial superiority of white people.
It's not about superiority, guy. I mean, let's be honest. This is not about supremacy because even a lot of race realists acknowledge like Jewish IQ, slight Jewish IQ advantage. I think that's memed. I don't think it's actually there. I think the advantage, Jewish advantage is money, power, and fucking influence.
And here's you, and Mikey, networking. His last sentence. Yeah. Opposing foreign wars is not an alt-right position unless it is rooted in the belief that Jews and Israel are pulling the purse strings that send American soldiers to their death. So what's the opposing view there? What's the other analysis of that situation?
So I'm supposed to be pro-war if my opposition to war is based on my factual observation.
Based on what?
Like, based on my factual observation that Jews in Israel are, in fact, controlling the purse strings, it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about the Benjamin Netanyahu's. Apparently, Benjamin Netanyahu had some clever retort to Ilhan Omar where, well, this Benjamin, it's not all about the Benjamins. It's like, well, dude, okay, yeah, it's all
not about the fucking shekels, right?
It's all about race war, right? You're right. With this Benjamin, it's about race war, not about money.
So what's the acceptable anti-war position then?
Please give me the parameters under which I can be anti-war, kike.
Well, any war is not directly affecting Israel. You can be opposed to those, I think.
No, not really, because even Venezuela, it's like I'm opposed to that. And somehow Jews are pushing that one, too.
Somehow that's, yeah.
It's the same bullshit. Well, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you the narrative on that. It's woke. Very woke.
Okay.
If we start another conflagration in the Middle East, oil is going to be a big problem. But who's got oil? Venezuela. We can counteract the oil, a crazy oil shortage that could come, and gas prices and discontent that could come from a Middle East war and disruption of oil flows from there. We can compensate for that with oil flows from Venezuela. Mm. Which is why we want a Juan Jardia there who'll just pump the oil straight north. What do you think about that? Clever, right? Good. Solid. Woke.
Gay.
What, you're not a fan of that narrative?
No, I'm just, the whole situation is gay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best I could come up with. I think it works, actually.
The whole situation of us pretending these fucking journalists are even relevant anymore is also kind of fake and gay. Like, well, we were talking about people that are losing their whole...
Hey, look, we gotta do 3 shows a week here, Alex. We need a foil. Maybe Shane has something to say about this guy. See if you can squeeze a few like baby noises out of him, and we'll interpret those as negative comments.
What's he looking at?
I think he
something really interesting off to the side there. He's looking at. Oh, no. Hey, Dad.
It was like a bottle. I think he's like a booby. He's like, can I have that, please?
Is he I think it's his face. He's like, I'm thinking really hard about pooping.
Oh, yeah. So he's got to focus for that.
So am I.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of myself.
Thinking about it as well. I love thinking about it. It's like, oh, man.
It's going to be great.
Feel your pain, Shane.
Is it when you anticipate that good poop you'll take later?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Good poop I'm going to take on Jewish journalists on Twitter. Their narratives. I'm just going to shit right directly on top of them.
Makes me want to see how many clicks he's gotten on this stupid article.
Who cares?
He's got less than 72 likes on it. His pinned tweet has 72 likes. Amazing. Amazing. That article
is It's amazing how little engagement this kind of bullshit gets.
It's because it's just damage control that nobody's interested in. Like, everybody knows this is BS. Nobody...
Do you remember back in the day when we still had Facebook plugin, like,
oh, on the numbers we would get?
Facebook,
yeah.
And Twitter plugins on our articles on TRS, the numbers that shit would do?
Yeah, we'd blow this one away.
You get it. Hundreds, if not thousands.
Yeah. Ah, the old days.
Likes and reposts and shit on those articles, man. Fucking hell, man. That was back when Twitter just like, oh, that was back when Twitter and Facebook, if you just did the proper embed code, if you had like the HTML on your page right for them to read it, that they just fucking posted your shit. Like, you know, as long as you had the right code on, and WordPress would do that for you in the templates, they would create it for you.
And now I'm seeing,
if you filled out correctly, everything would embed nicely, and like Twitter and Facebook would just spread your shit, and they didn't control it as well. So it's like all the mechanisms that they put in place to help things go viral just worked with our shit, and it would just go, just take off. People loved it. But then they had to. Then they put basically just controls. Like, literally, our shit won't embed on Twitter. Like, it's just an empty string. You know, it's a link. It'll be there, but it won't embed. So
now you just get fast forward, and you just see like the most benign commentary. Not in commentary, just comments in threads being deleted for community standards because the censorship is so harsh now.
This is an overall conversation. What they're doing in the internet. I mean, this is something that a lot of people predicted this, but I think like how it happened and the pace, a lot of people thought there would be like cracked. It's sort of like people thinking like the government is going to collapse at one point. You're like, there's going to be an internet. There's going to be an inflection point in the internet. And it's like, just, it's gone. Everything's gone. It's like, no, it's actually a slow motion Saturday Night Massacre. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a slow motion, just like little bits here and there. Daily Stormer is just gone. TRS, can't find it on Google search. Oh, can't embed shit on Twitter. Oh, start deleting accounts on Twitter. Oh, we're going to remove accounts from Facebook. You know, it's like little bits and pieces at a time. And then we're here. And then from 5 years ago, we're here. 5 years ago, we could have uploaded this show to YouTube. And it would have gotten like 50,000 views and nothing would have happened. Now it's like, no.
Yeah.
The collateral damage here is crazy, too, because they've essentially made Facebook unusable, and Twitter is losing engagement for everyone, not just people on the alt-right.
Well, the thing is, Twitter was like the political... It wasn't intended to do this. It was supposed to be like, you take a picture of like whatever... You're a foodie, and you take a picture of whatever dumb meal you had. And then you send it out to your friends or whatever. That was like the end, like, here's my random thoughts for the day, tweet, right? But yeah. It ended up becoming this political public square type thing. I don't think that's what they had in mind, but that's what it ended up becoming. And, you know, it was fun and interesting when everybody was involved in the debate. But if it just becomes an outlet for liberal garbage, it's going to become like Rachel Maddow. Like, boom, 500,000 less engagement. Particularly because what are they even going to talk about? If they don't have us, what are they even going to talk about? What are they going to talk about? Orange men bad for the 10th millionth time.
Yeah,
like, why even talk for that? Who cares? Even liberals. Yes, orange men bad. Is there anything else? No, there's nothing beyond this. Because we can't let you people think anymore. You're not. That's why, like, this is pure cat lady garbage. Because we can't. Our system is so fragile. Even liberals can't think. This is exactly what happened with Rammstein. Hey, Rammstein, you cucky liberals. Even you can't be creative because you're stepping on our shit.
Well, that's the thing, is you can't have content without the source material, and they've banned the source material.
And then even the source material that's allowed, they're like, hey, easy there. We own it. That Holocaust stuff you're doing, don't do that. That's us. That's our thing. You didn't get permission from Central Control.
I'm looking at another article here that we haven't.
Oh, yeah. We're not at the end of the hour yet. I feel like we've.
No, there's like 10 minutes to go.
Wow. All right. We're going to filibuster a bit. I'm a little bit.
On the Pacific Standard, whatever this is. But the Pacific Standard fuck party. let's see. It says, how white identity shapes American politics. Political scientist Ashley Jardina. I was just going to say, no relation to Ashley Jardia. Reports that
it's just too obvious at this point.
Reports that up to 40% of American whites feel solidarity with and protective of their racial group. But
how terrible. This would be considered a disaster if it was blacks or Jews.
Mm-hmm.
These numbers would be considered disastrous. Dude, honestly, I've seen numbers on this, and it's amazing, actually. The thing is, it's like, you know, liberals might be, like, slightly smarter, and conservatives might have total drug brains. But if you look at conservative whites, their levels of ethnocentrism...
Look at that smirk.
Right. Can I...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So if you look at conservative whites, their levels of ethnocentrism are not... relative to blacks and Jews and Hispanics are not as high, but they're not like underwater. Like, they're up there, but they're like maybe a few points shy of where blacks are at or whatever. But you go to liberal whites, ethnocentric levels are negative. They are below, and they are as negative as conservatives are positive. So if blacks are like a 13, whites are like a 10, conservative whites, liberal whites are like negative 10. Like, that, they hate themselves as much as conservatives like themselves, which is not even as much as blacks and Jews and Hispanics like themselves. So this is not a good situation. This is bad. But that's why, like, I really think, you know, look, white genocide, we don't like it. We don't like to see it. But, like, you know, a good chunk of the white race is going to die. And I'm not going to be doing it. This is just a prediction. This is just a prediction. I have nothing to. I'm not going to add to this in any way. But this is a prediction. A good chunk of the white race is going to die, and they're going to kill themselves. And again, I don't encourage self harm. I'm just telling you, like, this liberalism is death for white people. It is like adopting this point of view is. Oh my God, Ashley Jardia, literally.
No, this
Jardia.
Is what I'm trying to do. Is she wrote a book called White Identity Politics.
Yeah, okay.
So she's working on a little interview here.
Well, welcome to this world, because it's going to get worse for you in this respect, because the white people that don't die off, willingly, that don't end their genetic legacy by either mixing race or not having kids and or not having kids and then adopting blacks or whatever, the white people that don't end their own genetic line are going to become more ethnocentric. Like, this is an evolutionary selection process right now. We are just the tip of that process. It's going to get worse because white people will not survive unless they become ethnocentric. Because everything right now is against them. So the only way to respond to that is to become ethnocentric, and there will be an increase in white ethnocentrism. You can't shame people out of it. Because if your whole media apparatus is dedicated to telling people you wanting to survive, you not wanting to die is bad, then guess what? People are just going to turn your shit off. And they have been. They have been. Even as sort of retarded and grug-brained as conservative ethnocentrism is, it's still there. They still don't like, I mean, there's a reason they don't like Obama. They don't understand it, but there's a reason. And so it's like, you know, our job is to make this clear, make it understandable, to make sense out of this confusing mess of the media and all these narratives, and tell white people that being ethnocentric is okay, and this message is working. It's resonating. It's not about race war and killing people. It's about us telling white people it's okay to be white. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good to be white. It's great. It's the best. Oh, God, did I just... Oh, God. Did I just go racial supremacy? No, but of course I think white is the best. I wouldn't want to be anything else. Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with anybody thinking that. I don't begrudge anyone else thinking that about themselves. So, like, white people will die if we don't become ethnocentric. So we're going to be. So it's going to happen. It's not going to be all of us. There's going to be I actually think all these fucking liberals are going to die in a few generations. And in a couple of generations, the white people that live are going to be like us, except you're not even going to like how bad it is from your perspective. This liberal shit of whites are terrible and at the butt and the root of every evil. It's not going to continue. It can't continue. The option is either that or all white people die. They want, like, because right now, the only option for white people is death in the current narrative. There are something like 500 million white people on Earth. I think if you combine Europe and America, you get somewhere around that number. So you're not going to get 500 million people. Now, granted, globally, that's still only, it's like 10% or less than the population. It's like less than 10% of the global population. That's bad. But so God forbid, this group of people that created all civilization in the West, created more written works, this had more scientific discoveries, actually created the best military tech, you know, the biggest empires, the best arts and everything. This 500 million, this group of 500 million people, this legacy of those of that race, is not going to just let itself die. Okay? And that means that those that do die because they buy into the status signaling that the Jewish media requires, which is I have to hate myself because that's what Jews tell me to do, because that's their survival fucking strategy, is to tell me to kill myself, and I'll listen because I respond to high status messaging. That's how it works, right? Jews set the high status messaging, and that means for Jews' survival, the best thing is for whites to kill themselves, because we're the only race that threatens them. The only race that actually tried to get rid of them one time, a few times, maybe, supposedly, theoretically. So they want us to tell, their survival strategy is, hey, white people, kill yourselves. And it's the high status thing to do, and high status whites respond to that. So they're just going to die. Go ahead, kill yourselves. Those of us just low status whites that like ourselves, we're not going to die, and you're going to have a big problem. Anyway, there's my rant. Long enough? Do we hit 10 minutes?
So did you actually read the entire article, Jesse?
No, Mike started talking.
Yeah, like she tries to be academic about this and do like this nuanced analysis that, well, there's a difference between being pro-white and having like a hatred of other races.
She's doing a good job trying to square white identity without being like the sin of evil racism. I mean, she's doing that. I mean, that's going to be useful for some people. I mean, not for me, but some people are going to need that. Some people need that permission. Like, you can start to have these feelings without being racist and evil, right?
Literally, no one in the mainstream media will pick up on this, though.
Pick up on it. I think it's actually true. And when you get guys like Stryker, like, it's actually true. Like, Stryker legitimately doesn't hate anybody except one group. But you know, the issue here is, like, there's going to be whites that are like that. That in theory, that's true. And it's like, I actually don't hate. I actually do say this. I don't hate black people. I find black people to be highly amusing in many circumstances, actually. That doesn't mean I want to necessarily be around them. But it's not hate. It's just like, you know, no, like, it's not good. Like, a situation like that white cop in Chicago, like, that's not something I want, right? And so, sure, like the evil sin of racism, it's like, well, what is that really? I mean, because other groups that show ethnocentrism do show negative. Like, look, go look at Black Twitter and see how they talk about white people, right? These are ethnocentric blacks. How do they talk about white people? It's pretty hateful. Like, it does. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. But it's just like, there it is, right? I'm not mad about it. It's expected. But there it is. So on some level, ethnocentrism, some people will be hateful of others. Some people won't. But you're always going to favor your own group. And ultimately, that's going to mean, like, there's picking and choosing that's going to go on, right? So if I like white people more than other races, which is natural for me to do. Hey, a job is open at my company. Well, give it to a white person. I mean, that's how you choose to work. So you're never going to, you're not going to, you can't expunge these kinds of, you can't make a totally clean ethnocentrism. No group has it. Jews certainly don't have it there. And dude, of all the violent, hateful, eliminationist, genocidal groups, Jews are the worst. They're literally the worst. And they projected all of that onto whites. They are the quintessential eliminationist, genocidal, hateful group. It's in their text, it's in their history, it's in their rhetoric, it's in their hearts. So
The argument I make in the book is that part of the reason white identity didn't matter a lot in the 80s or 90s is we had yet to see the current patterns of major demographic change due to immigration. We had yet to elect our first black president. We were far away from the civil rights movement at that point. It was a lull when white dominance wasn't really challenged.
That's interesting. You're not wrong.
No, it was challenged. Challenged more subtly. It was challenged with like entertainment tokenism and stuff like that. Like, I mean, you're like, how many fucking like buddy films were like a black guy and a white guy? I mean, Christ, lethal fucking weapon.
Remember, whites didn't have dominance in the 80s. Jews had dominance, and they were subtly memeing with those buddy films and other stuff.
Yeah,
they were suddenly memeing. They were subtly memeing white self-hatred into the Matrix.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It was still cool in the 80s to be like, oh, dumb white people. So there's like this boomer who's – doesn't matter where. He's out there. This is a book I'm writing. He's not necessarily a person. But this boomer always says in conversations, you know what's wrong in America is all these stupid white people. And it's like he thinks that's cool to say because he picked up on Jew messaging. And it's like – on some level, he's not wrong, because there's a really large group of dumb white liberals.
Does he mean
and
I think that's
see, the thing is that's the context in which he means it. But he never says there's cool white people too. Like there's good white people. What's right with America is not stupid white people. He never says that. So that's like that's Jew fucking shit in his head. And he's not even he doesn't even hate white people.
Mm-hmm.
He probably scores high, relatively high on ethnocentrism for whites. But it's like he still says that. But he can't ever say the other. So I'll be happy to say, I agree. Dumb white people fucking suck. We actually go after them quite a bit on our show. Fucking moronic, idiot white people. But we also say there's great white people. And historically, there's been a hell of a lot of great white people. Almost all the great people in history.
Like great white?
Bitten, twice shy, baby.
Great white actually does not qualify for actual great white people.
Wait, did I just sing White Snake or Great White? I can't even remember. Yeah, that was Great White.
Oh, I just remember Great White is actually not a good band.
It's not. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
You know who is a good band? There you go.
Oh, my God. These are the white people that have to go.
Nog.
I mean, not her.
It's Nogstein. Nogstein.
Dude, someone should...
Nogstein.
Someone should edit out Rammstein and just, like, put the gamer word behind that bitch.
Nogstein.
Just like... Nice.
All right, we did it, Reddit. Let's go.
Yeah, Mike managed to put Shane to sleep over here.
Oh, good.
I hope
I didn't have all our audience to sleep either.
No.
Oh.
It's fine. All right, so everybody have a good weekend there.
Yeah. Enjoy yourselves.
Enjoy your things.
Should have a cool show for you on Monday.
Go ride 61 miles, guys. Go do it.
Mm.
Yeah, do that. I'm never going to do that, but do someone else.
I'm going to take a nap. I feel like shit again.
Take a 61-minute nap.
Same here.
All right. All right, gentlemen. Take care. Wow.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may be. Those who hate you don't quit unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.